we go. Another day, another squad. Here we go. It's the living sacrifice. Here we go. I get your bullshit way. Here we go. I get your fucking free shit. Here we go. Another day, another hour. Here we go. Take back the power. Here we go. I'd rather die on my feet. Here we go. The gift living on my knees.
Who's in here? Nobody?
Oh, yeah. What's up, Killer? Everybody, welcome to Rogue MMA. Sorry, I'm, yeah, it was supposed to be 10:15 for, Jeff, but, I didn't realize you can't start it, but on the half hours, so, you know, so it doesn't matter anyway. Oh, hold on. Who else we got here? Is that Chris? Hey, what's up, Chris?
What's up? What the fuck, man? Why'd you give me the wrong number, Skippy? What's up with that?
Oh, I'm dyslexic, man.
you can't even copy and paste right. That's fucked up.
I know, dude. That's really sad, huh? Oh, man. Sorry, guys. It's been a crazy night, man. What a set of fights, dude. Mean looked like a machine, dude. That guy wasn't even in his league.
Who won the Pets fight? That's the only one I missed. The Pets versus
Pets got destroyed, dude.
Oh, bad.
It was quick because I just ran across town real quick. And this town ain't that big.
Dude, like that fight blocks. Lasted 20 seconds longer than it should have.
Good old Canadian judges.
No, dude, the fights, man, I'll tell you what, they had some good fights on that card for sure.
Yeah, there was pretty good fights.
Come on, can anybody else out there tell me the last time you saw a motherfucker take 3 head kicks in a row and still keep coming forward?
Healy is tough, but I mean, they definitely didn't win him the fight, that's for damn sure. They did him dirty, too, the judges did him dirty. Instead of just doing them like 10-9, you know, they did them like 10-7 or something. I mean, it was wrong. It was dirty.
It was just 2-10. It was the second and third are easy 10-8s, man.
Hey, you know what's so funny, though, is Aaron Hall from Team Quest, we were talking during the fight, and he said this is the second time he has seen 30-25, 30-26 cards in his career.
That's bad. The Alex Ritchie dude is tough. The Alex Ritchie dude was pretty tough, too.
Now, let me ask
you. Yeah, isn't that Mike's brother?
I don't think so. It's not spelled the same. I don't think so.
Hey, now, let me ask you guys. Obviously, we all know that, Diamond Ryan Healy has a brother in Strikeforce, which is Bam Bam. What is the difference between them two guys that makes such the broad spectrum of somebody who's still trying to get there versus somebody who's gotten there?
Yeah, isn't Ryan the older brother?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like that. So he gets beasted by his little brother and shit.
Dude, if you've never seen his mudslide, dude, they got a kick-ass property out in Eagle something or other here in Oregon.
Eagle Point.
He bought a bunch of acreage, and he made a slide that's like 30, 40 foot long into this river, like creek riverbed. Badass, dude. It's sick. Sam, you with us, brother? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, cool. Hey, everybody, we're just kicking back tonight. You guys know how Rogue does it, man. We really don't have guests. We really don't look to be like a structured show. We're just kind of a bunch of guys working for one company who like to talk MMA. Obviously, we all watched some fights today and tonight and yesterday and Wednesday, and there's been a lot of exciting stuff going on, so we'll just kick back at BS. We do have a caller who's going to be joining us here in a little bit, and that's Miss Amanda Bell. We'll talk to her a little bit about what's going on with her. She's got some great, exciting news.
Are we live right now?
Yeah, we're live.
Yeah, dude.
I had no idea.
Hey, that's how we roll, man. We go live, dude.
I would like to take back everything I have said so far. I'm just playing.
Hey, let me give a big shout out to MMA Madhouse for letting us do this show. Good guys, we love working for them. Also, a big shout out to Crossroaders Clothing. We didn't give them as much love as I should have the other night, so a big shout out to them. I'm guessing here shortly we're also going to have Jeff from Clinch Cup from Mouth Stars joining us to talk MMA. So, guys, we were talking about the scores card. We talked a little bit about Healy, and I was curious, why do you guys think, since they train together with the same coaches, the same teams, that Bam Bam is such the better fighter?
That's a tough question because I don't really know what Ryan's record is. You know what it is? Look it up. Google it real quick. So, I mean,
okay, yeah.
He's just a scrapper straight up. Like, that dude just, I don't know. Like, it seems like Pat has more of a game plan coming into a fight where Ryan is just a straight up just scrapper. I don't know, you know?
Ryan is
23-11.
What?
23-12 after tonight.
Oh, 23-12. You're right, and he's 10-3 in his last 13 fights.
Oh.
And you know he's got some good wins. I mean, obviously, you know the loss to John Alessio. A lot of people felt last time at the Scores Fighting Series that. That went, you know, the wrong way, but...
Just think about this. Ryan Healy's been the distance with Lloyd Woodard, Rick Story, Jorge Masvidal, John Alessio. I mean, these are all losses, decision losses. He's not getting finished. Rob McCullough finished him.
But that was a cut.
Billy Evangelista was able to finish him, but I think Evangelista has some underrated striking.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Well, hold on, guys. Let me bring Jeff from Clinch Cuts the Mouth Stars in on with us. Hey, Jeff, how you doing tonight, brother?
Good. How are you?
Hey, you know how Rogue MMA goes, man. We're just kicking back tonight. A bunch of us going to BS about MMA for the next hour or two. And so just jump in when you feel free to.
Thank you.
And right now we're talking about the Healy fight. Did you watch it?
No, I couldn't get it to work.
Ah, bummer. Well, we're discussing the differences now between him and his brother. Obviously, you know, Lopaque pointed out he has some great, great fights, even with some of them being losses to some top level. And it's just interesting, the differences between the two brothers, because obviously they train together, they train at the same facility, they have the same coaches, and Bam Bam is doing so much better with his career right now at this point. Just trying to figure out what everybody's thoughts on why that is. And see, what's Bam? Go ahead.
What now?
I was looking at Bam Bam. Bam Bam's 28 and 16, so their records aren't that far apart. It can't be competition either.
I think that when you're talking about, okay, so what you're talking about is why is Pat on a title shot, weight, it strike force, and Ryan's not, because Pat's more athletic.
Yeah.
And he has more explosion, like, and once you, and, like, that's what separates you, like, when you get to that level. Like, Ryan plods forward, but Pat can, like, pounce on you.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
It does, totally, for me. Hopefully for all the listeners out there who aren't zombies.
I mean, because really, like, that's what you're talking about. When you get to that level, like, you're talking about the guy that can get there quicker. That guy's always going to win. If I can land a punch faster than you can, like, the perfect example is Condit Hardy. Who's got there first? That's who won that fight.
That's a good point. Very good point.
The other guy wound up on his back. They both landed a super hook at the exact, like, within seconds of, like, within milliseconds of each other. But Condit's was that much quicker, and he won the fight.
Well,
and that's the difference at that level.
That's true. I mean, you know, look at when he went up against Eric Wisely. You know, he was beating Eric Wisely at every step of the game by half a step. It was just an impressive display of talent that night. And shit, obviously we all know he destroyed Massimo Blanco and Carlos Fedor, so. It's interesting with Gilbert Melendez being hurt. You know, what happens now? Obviously he's going to lose that title shot. So does he go straight into contendership in the top five rankings in UFC if that's where they move him to? What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I think they should do that, or they should give. I think they should let him and Jorge Masvidal fight because Masvidal, you know, he's begging for a fight. He says, you know, I think he definitely deserves another shot, being that he went all five rounds with Gilbert Melendez and, you know, had a broken hand before coming into that fight. So, you know, it was kind of like watching that fight the whole time. I knew he had a broken hand, so it kind of sucked. You know, he couldn't really get off and do anything. It'd be nice to see Bam Bam fight Jorge Masvidal. I think that'd be a good fight. I think that'd be a great fight for fans, really.
Well, here's the thing about Masvidal, I feel, is no matter who you put him against, he's not an easy beat. He's not at all. He's not an easy guy to beat. Win or lose, this guy goes all day long. What's he got? 10 decision win losses in a row? Something stupid like that. He comes to fight. I mean, whether it's been against, Billy Evangelista or Nunes, you know, or Paul Daly, I mean, you know, win or loss, he came and he brought just serious fights.
And just remember, this guy came from, you know, the Kimbo videos, you know, and now he's real time in MMA, you know. Now he really does it, you know. I think he's top talent. That's just, I think him, Bobby Green, Bam Bam, several other fighters at lightweight, you know, I think a lot of them should go to the UFC, you know, just because they're exciting fighters. They don't care. They just come to bang.
Speaking of,
I don't think it's a good idea. That's why I don't think it's a good idea that you have two guys come over from Strikeforce and fight each other. You're better off having, like, those two guys come over and fight, like, a UFC guy somewhere between, like, 9 and 14 in a fight that they can win. So, like, because you have to establish, like, these guys as now being at the level of the UFC. So you need to, like, put them in almost winnable fights.
Man, that's a good point. Hey, speaking of Masvidal,
you don't want people to think, like, everybody coming over from Strikeforce is fucking crazy, you know, and doesn't deserve it. It'll be, like, similar to what happened when WEC came over, and everybody's like, these guys are a fucking joke, and now look who's dominating that lightweight division. Guys from the WEC, minus Nate Diaz.
That's a good point. Now, before we get off Masvidal, how many of you guys remember that Bodog fight with Yves Edwards when he head-kicked him, KO'd him?
Oh, that was sick. He, like, I think he broke his leg at that kick when he kicked him or whatever. I don't know, dude.
That was pretty sweet, man. Yeah, dude, if you look at Masvidal, you know, he brings fight, dude. So, you know, so I think he could be a good matchup for a couple of fighters in the UFC. But
He was kicking him out of his ass before he got triangled, or you remember that crazy ass triangle? Like the reverse triangle? Inverted triangle,
yeah.
Sorry. Before he got inverted triangle, that was a sick fight. He just got caught.
Okay, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Obviously, everybody who watched the Healy fight, or the Mean fight, knows that there's not much to talk about. Obviously, Jordan is still on the level he was at. Now, did anybody catch the post-fight there?
Than he has lately.
Did you catch the post-fight interview when he said that he's still under the contract?
Yeah, I knew that.
So, it makes no sense why they announced they were cutting him, if they're going to keep him under contract. Let him go.
Who announced that they were cutting him?
A couple weeks ago. When the whole Strikeforce deal started going down, you know, he was going to be let go. Now, when they said he was going to... Go ahead.
I don't know if
he's cut
any fighters. Yeah, I don't think they cut any fighters. I think because they're not doing really that many shows, they let some of their fighters fight elsewhere, like Derek Brunson, you know, and Kendall Grove fighting a show fight. They just let Derek fight because they couldn't book him. They had nothing for him. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
so,
they haven't cut anybody like Chris was saying. Chris was right on the spot. Yeah. No, Chris is exactly right. They're still under contract. They're just allowed to fight elsewhere so they can stay active rather than go into, like, a long layoff. But they almost have to main event the show that they're going to fight at.
Yeah, because of who they are.
Yeah.
It depends who the opponent is, too, is from what I heard, too, you know.
Like, where does Jordan go from now? I mean, let's be honest. You know that they're not going to let him fight in Bellator, and they're not going to, you know, so, I mean, where is he going to get his true competition at this point? Does he need to go overseas? Does he need to maybe go down to Legacy and test himself with some of their fighters they've been signing? I mean, you know.
He's certainly going to be fighting for Zuffa here before too long, after tonight.
Is there a Tyrone Woodley rematch?
He can't fight in UFC right now. You know, I mean, I don't know how that works still. I think we're all kind of, you know, we don't really know what the hell's going on, so it's kind of hard to say where these guys are going to fight at, which sucks. But we have no idea.
That's true. You know, I'm curious, though, to see what they do with him, because I believe, you know, especially, what is he, guys? He's something stupid young, like 22.
Yeah,
I could be wrong. He could be maybe older than that, but I think he's very young, like 22, 23. And he's already been in the sport for 30-some-odd fights.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. His pro debut was against Rory McDonald in 2006.
that's a tough one to start out your career on.
Right?
Oh, my God. Here's your first fight. I mean, think about Matt Riddle, though. I mean, that guy started his career in the UFC. That's crazy.
That's true. Like,
all his fights have been in the UFC.
Who's? Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle.
Like, they've grown him pretty good, though. I mean, you know, giving him, you know, growing him as a fighter, just bringing in people for him to fight here and there. And I think
how many fighters are going to move to Washington now or Colorado? And then how do you drug test them? If it's legal for them to smoke in the state they live on, how do you drug test them?
Well, you know, it's a funny question you bring that up because, you know, me and my boss at work, we were getting trashed the other day and we were talking about it. He was like, you know, what if I had to piss test you? I was like, well, I thought you'd be fired then. He's like, well, no, you're legal. And I'm like, yeah. I was like, that, I think it becomes, at that point, Jeff's in here. I think it becomes, at that point, you know, up to the discretion of the employer, which would have to be the same for Zuffa, I would guess. I mean, they would have
to
allow.
That's the athletic commissions, though, right? It's the athletic commissions that want to that do the testing.
That's true, but you'd be able to get an exemption like TRT. I don't see why you couldn't.
Jeff, have you heard anything about what they're going to do up there in Washington? Has anybody even broached the subject yet?
No, I haven't heard a thing yet. Should be interesting. The complaint that I keep hearing people say is that about if they get stuck in their car now, they can be tested on the spot and ticketed for a DWI for smoking weed and driving, even if they don't have it on them. So if they appear stoned, they check them. They get a ticket. They get arrested.
Yeah, but marijuana stays in your system for weeks. I don't understand how they can.
It would have to be a blood test, and still, like, that wouldn't even be accurate, really.
Agreed.
It's part of the risk. It's part of the chance you take, man.
Now,
you've
Steve,
been able
I'm
to get a DUI on weed for the last 20 years, so not like anything changes.
I don't have a problem with, you know, them
smoking
making, I don't have a problem with them making regulations in the states to control, you know, the recreational and medical use of it at all. I don't think it should be legalized. I'm the first to say it should be like alcohol. It should be decriminalized to where there's mandatory regulations from state to state that all match and, you know, blah, 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 blah. I think it's funny that Washington just got raided, mad raided. What was it, 36 dispensaries got raided like 2 months ago. They changed the law there, and now the feds are going to leave them alone. I think that they just have opened up a can of worms because the difference between Colorado, and most people don't understand this, the difference between Colorado and every other medical state in the United States is states run every single medical program except for Colorado. The IRS runs it there. It makes 11% of the state taxes taken in annually. That's the difference.
No, that's the only difference. That's only the only reason that's a difference is because other states are too stupid to realize that they could have a whole fucking tax revenue stream here based off fucking the legalization of marijuana that they continue to like scoff at as this country continues to spiral out of control financially. Why are you so stupid to not realize this as state leaders? People that are supposed to be on the fucking cutting edge of keeping this country active and growing forward. How are you so dumb to see that between marijuana and even industrial hemp, like, legalization, like, where you can't even fucking get high off the shit. They won't even legalize it, and it's the most useful fucking grown thing on the planet.
Well, do you think now with athletes getting more involved with this, especially in the MMA world, and you know, a lot of people know out there, a lot of Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioners smoke. They believe it's part of the enhancement of training. And I think we lost Sam, but that's all right. He'll call back. You know, do you think now with more athletes getting caught for marijuana that we're going to see a change in the next year or so, and maybe regulations for it in athletes?
No.
I think
if it's illegal, you're not going to be able to do it.
Here's my thing. I think if they have a medical license to smoke marijuana, then that's fine because they can get a medical license for TRT and a medical license for anything else. So, you know what I mean? As long as they have a medical license and they go through the doctor and blah, 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 and do all the proper steps, then they should be able to, you know, use their medicine as they need it.
Use their medicine.
Well, you know, guys,
so then now, based off that, now all these goofballs can go get a TRT exemption, too. So they're going to start doing that. It's going to be like a requirement to fight in the UFC. You have to have a TRT and a weed exemption so that you can fight and make sure that you're not going to fail anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what they do already with TRT. And then we find out later that they were on TRT. You know, we don't find out until the fighter either announces it, you know, or they don't have their doctor's excuse or whatever, and then they get caught, you know? So, I mean...
So what about a guy like... Okay, so what do you think then about a guy like BJ that is willing to take the most extreme testing?
So I love that.
I give it up to him. I love that.
Because that just shows that... You know, it's just him. He doesn't need nothing else in order to fight. He doesn't need drugs, enhancements. He's just a true fighter. And that's what I think about BJ Penn. He's a true fighter. That dude is, I mean, probably one of my top five favorite fighters ever.
He's definitely somebody who, you know, the way he believes in taking care of, you know, his body and testing and stuff. I don't know
if he takes care of his body that much, dude. He kind of rides the chunky train.
Have you seen the video of him today?
Oh, no, I mean, he's in shape right now. He's in shape right
he's
now.
He's in better shape
he's
on
motivated.
His day off than any one of us on our day on.
I wouldn't go that far. There's some days when BJ's pushing 200, dude. He's not in that good shape.
I guarantee you he could grapple your ass for an hour.
I would hope he could do that in a wheelchair.
I'll take his ass in a wheelchair. If he's in a wheelchair, I got him. He's done.
work.
I mean, but I don't know. I hope he beats Rory McDonald into oblivion. I hope that he licks the blood off his hands like he did after the Joe Stevenson fight. That's the BJ I want to see in the fucking octagon.
No doubt.
The guy that's licking some dude's fucking blood off his gloves after beating his ass and choking him out.
Dude, no, I agree. I'd like to see you beat Rory. I'd like to see him.
Okay, so what do you guys think? Because BJ had retired, right? Do you think he came back to take a fight with Rory McDonald because he sees it as a fast track back to a fight with GSP?
I don't think he cares about that fight. I just think he cares. I just think he left.
I think maybe Diaz, not GSP.
Yeah. Yeah, and that would be I think that would be a great rematch. You know what I mean? For both guys.
No, they won't fight again. They won't fight again. BJ already said he won't fight anybody that's from a Gracie school again.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that, honestly, he's not coming back to fight GSP. I don't think he cares anymore.
Yeah. Just big fights. I think he just wants big fights. And, you know, he gets paid a lot. That dude gets paid, so.
Well, yeah, but he's kind of earned it.
Well, he doesn't care anyway. His family's rich anyway, so he just, you know, he's not in it for the money. He's just in it for the fight. That's what I love about BJ Penn. He's sick.
I just think it's
great.
I think it's awesome that Anderson. So, if you ask Anderson who the best fighter in the world is, he says BJ.
I think it's awesome that Anderson said somebody else fight for the title while I take a year off. That's a true fighter.
I think
yeah.
He likes attention. I don't think he's in it just for the fight. I think he likes attention. And I need money, but he likes to know who he is. You know what I mean?
Hey, guys, I'm going to call Miss Amanda Bell up, have her kick back with us for a few minutes. Talk some MMA with that young lady.
Hello.
Hey, Miss Amanda Bell, how are you doing tonight?
What up, Skip? How you doing, man?
Pretty good. You're on with Lapaki, Jeff and Clinch, and Chris Gregory, one of our guys from out in Missouri. We're just kicking back talking MMA, and we thought we'd call you and have you join us tonight just to BS for a little bit, because I know as of today, officially, it's been announced that you have officially signed your Invicta contract for January 5th.
Absolutely. Oh, man. It's so surreal, but I'm really excited. Like, it's going to be great.
So, I know that things have not gone in the fight way the way that you wanted to in the last couple months. A lot of fights have fallen out that you're trying to get. So how does that set with your mind for this Invicta? Do you just wipe all that and you're on the pressure?
Well, it sucks because I really wanted to have one last amateur fight before I went, like, for a lot of reasons and myself. And to really go out with a bang and, you know, be able to show that I am ready to go into Invicta. But obviously, I mean, it seems that, you know, I feel that already. So they're already convinced. So it's just kind of a matter of, you know, convincing it more on myself. But I've been getting myself ready for it from even before I was actually supposed to get. I was even getting close to this last amateur fight that was supposed to happen. I was getting more ready for the idea of being a pro at that point. You know, I was getting. Months, but it was all kind of on that idea that I would be going pro soon. Like, I just knew it. I absolutely knew it.
So, with the next, basically, what, 2.5 months, roughly, a little less than that, to prepare for this, not even, what's that, a month and a half? Yeah. You got about a month and a half to be prepared and ready for this. Are you going to stay in the same routine with the same team? Are we going to see maybe travel down in the Northern Cal or maybe somewhere else?
If I can get myself down there, I definitely will. I've been talking to the coach of Combat Sports Academy out in Dublin, where Sarah Giglio and Alexis Davis and several other girls train. and I've really been wanting to get down there to get some time in with them. They've openly, you know, welcomed down and train. I'm having some struggles getting down there at this point. My coach just helped me kind of get my car fixed. Plus, the weather is going to get real shitty real quick. So that's another issue. It's just a matter of like I said, we're getting down there through this horrible weather, because I didn't expect the date to be so soon in January. So it kind of took some time for me to be able to travel like I wanted to, but you know, and at the same time, money is kind of a you know, substantial issue too, which is just kind of a common thing.
That's going to change here shortly now that you're fighting pro. So hopefully that will help you get more progressive in your career and get to train more abroad like you would like to. And I know you. I know that you'd like to train at some gi schools and some MMA gyms, and, you know, you like to train in multiple places. I know that's something you enjoy. You know, I got to ask you, and I know the answer, but for anybody listening, you know, you're going to an organization where their star girl, her only blemish is you. Now, am I 100% correct in saying you are not going down to 135 anytime in the near future?
Yeah, it's not going to be anytime soon. I really would like to stay in the 145s for a little while and gain more experience and just kind of sit in this weight class for a while. I don't know why. I have kind of my own personal reasons, but, you know, I have yet to even see if I can physically make 135. In a way, my body is kind of still getting used to being 145. So it's definitely something I'm going to take my time on and just stay in this class for just, you know, as long as I can.
Cool.
How's your training been lately, Amanda?
Training's been good. I've been working progressively with my coach, Jose, over at Fabian's MMA, and we've been doing a lot of boxing and a lot of MMA stand-up training, and he's been helping me do everything I can to get faster, get stronger. I was out of jiu-jitsu for a month because of an elbow injury, but I've slowly been getting back into that and, you know, continuing my training with Pistol Pete and everybody over at Lotus Club. And I'm even actually going to be going possibly out to the Ashland area to train out there a couple times a week with two friends of mine who go to the Ashland MMA gym out here, and then do some stand-up and kickboxing with Jesse Sumner, and get probably some jiu-jitsu in out there as well. So that's, you know, I've been trying to get in touch with them because they too live in an area kind of out there that's kind of had bad weather lately, and they've been struggling to get to and from. But plus they go and train around the time that I'm working my boxing and everything with Jose, and just kind of, you know, stuck in that hour or two of what I got going on. But right now, like I said, I've just been slowly getting picking up my jiu-jitsu for the last week and just training as hard as I can and just traveling around as much as I can.
Have you been having good success with finding some quality sparring partners?
Here and there, actually. I've been sparring a lot with a lot of the boxers at my gym, a lot of the guys who have been Golden Glove and, you know, and higher. They're just these great athletes that I can compete with out there. And my coach and I actually spar quite a bit, and he alone gives me one hell of a workout and just, you know, everything like that. We've been actually gaining a couple of more MMA fighters too, actually, at the gym that I've been able to work with more ground progressively than anything.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it's probably been kind of, you know, difficult to simulate cage time, but I mean, it sounds like you're doing everything that you possibly can, which is, you know, all you can ask for, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you chomping at the bit to get back in there? Like, can January 5th get here fast enough?
I'm just taking it a day at a time. I'm not trying to let it rush at me so quickly. I'm trying to just, you know, I'm still wrapping my mind around the whole idea, you know, because it all just kind of came so quickly. It's like I'm in a dream right now. But, you know, change has always been kind of a thing for me. But right now, I'm just taking it a day at a time and just every day training as much as I can and doing everything I can to stay to get stronger and get to that level that I need to be at, and just see where I'm at when the fifth comes.
So, Amanda,
what's your big thing for your first opponent? How do you feel about your opponent?
How do I feel about my opponent? I'm actually pretty excited. I'm excited to fight her. Yeah, her name's Tamika Brent. She just had her pro debut a couple weeks. I believe it wasn't last weekend; it was the weekend before, and she won. She did really well. She's a powerhouse. She's definitely a brawler for sure. So I've actually had chances to fight her several times in the past, but things kept coming up and creating issues that I was getting stuck and couldn't accept the fight. But I've known who she was for a while, so I find it, you know, kind of interesting that she's my my first fight as a pro. But she's a tough opponent. I know that much. So it's going to be a battle.
It looks like she doesn't have any losses.
That's what I was told.
Give her her first one.
Well, that is your nickname, the Lady Killer. You have put blemishes on a lot of women's records, that their only blemish is you. And knowing that Invicta will build that hype behind you, are you ready mentally for the media blast that's about to start hitting you?
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I've been in contact with a lot of people who just kind of talk to me on a personal level, like on Facebook or something, but I'm expecting it, mentally ready for it. I don't know. It's just one of the things that will just have to happen, because I know it's bound to happen, so I just try not to think about it too much, because you can't avoid it.
Well, just make it like one of your max muscle appearances, you know, just mentally prepare for it like that.
Oh, I was barely prepared for that when I went, but that was awesome. I got indulged in that event. That was so much fun going out there, me and all those people. That was kind of my first look into how much, you know, contact with public I'll always be in, and that was just, I wasn't even a chip off the block, but it was definitely a good experience. I had so much fun at that.
You know, I've got to ask you, you're somebody who is physically just got a killer physique. You know me, I'm a short, fat, lazy guy, so I think you're super impressive. How far off your fight weight do you walk the streets? Because you're very, very trim.
how far off what?
Your fight weight, how far off your fight weight do you walk? Like, when you're not fighting, are you at, like, 160?
Why don't you ask her, what's her walking
weight?
Yeah,
what's
your walking
weight? Gosh, it's
a pen. Yeah, oh, God, I don't even care. I'm not like that. But I don't give a damn. Because I look good either way. I don't care. But walking around, it depends, like, I mean, if I stick to my diet, I can easily stay at about 150, maybe 152. I've seen myself get up almost back to 160, depending on, you know, what the day was like. But, it's no higher than 100. It's no higher than 155 at the most as of lately. I stay right there when I'm working out and just, you know, just eating regularly.
Well, yeah, because last time, you know, we saw you, you were very much, you looked ready to go back then, so... You know, that's why I was asking, because, you know, your shape back that day, you know, was phenomenal. I was like, wow.
Thank you. I train every day. I'm always doing something, even if, like, I know it's a, you know, it's like I'll give myself a day of rest. But even on days that I know are going to be where I'm on my own because my coach is out of town or, the gym is closed. Like, even now, like, for Thanksgiving weekend, like, the dojo's closed from Thursday on, you know, up until next Monday. And I've still been doing stuff on my own to keep in shape, you know, and still be training. It's, you know, it's different when you don't have a partner or somebody to do it, so it's just, continuous conditioning, but that I just do on my own. I've got complete access to our gym, so I'm always there.
How important, you know, if somebody who does train that much, how important is it for you to be always ready?
I feel it's very important because you never know when you're going to, you know, get a call to come out, you know, for a week, for a fight that's in a week, you know. That's always what it was like as an amateur, you know, I used to get calls all the time to come here, come there, you know, but it was within a week's notice, so it was always a problem getting away. But, and it was a period of time where I was out of training for several months, and I knew I could be 145 pounds in less than a week, so I had to turn down a lot of, you know, a lot of possibilities. But at this point, that things are steady and actually where I need them to be, it's very important for me to be at weight because I don't like cutting weight. that's one thing that's definitely not good on your body, is to constantly be going up and down and fluctuating like that. So I always try to do my best to stay on par because I don't like to shed like that.
Well, hey, I think Chris Gregory, our guy from Missouri, wants to ask you a question. So we'll shut up for a second. Chris,
yeah,
you're up, buddy.
You guys are good. You guys are just messing with me because I'm over here being quiet.
I just wanted to ask you, you know, a lot of females have the advantage of having, you know, other female training partners. Do you feel that's a disadvantage for you? You know, do you have any female training partners?
I don't have any female training partners. We've had a couple of girls that have started at the gym in the boxing classes, but they're all beginners. Like, they don't even, they're just doing boxing for the hell of it. I'm constantly training with the males, and I believe it's a huge advantage because, I mean, not just in a matter of, you know, strength-wise, I'm usually always the odd one out on that, so it really helps my defense. But a lot of these guys have been doing, you know, say wrestling or jiu-jitsu or something, you know, boxing a lot longer than me, so I can learn from these guys because, you know, the ones that I do have the time to work with, I mean, there are some that are beginners and, well, you know, they're at a more beginner level than I underneath me, but there are a lot of, like I said, a lot of fellows there who have been doing certain things much longer than me, so it's always someone I can learn from. As far as, you know, I don't have any female training partners.
Do you feel like the guys take it easy on you a little bit, you know, when it comes to sparring and stuff like that?
No, not really, because I told them, I'm like, if you don't hit me, I'll hit you. So they have to get that out of their head because I will make them bleed. It's just the way it is. Like, we train. It's just what we do. I mean, like, if I, like, it's, yeah. Yeah.
No.
So, I mean, I was actually just sparring with one of the guys from boxing, and, like, we were only 60-70%, we were just sparring, but still, like, my ears were ringing by the end of class, because we were beating on each other hard.
Hey, let me ask you a little business question. You know, obviously now you're with Jason out there at Relentless Sports Management. How big of a difference has that made in your career?
It's made a significant difference. Jason has really stepped up and done a lot of great things for me. He basically opened the doorway to Invicta. He'd been talking to Janet before I even signed with him, and he and I were just kind of talking on a personal level because he knew I was having some struggles and stuff, and he was being very patient, you know. He wasn't trying to pressure me into, you know, sign with him. He was just very humble, very, you know, interested to know that I had actually heard of him. And just, you know, we kind of got to know each other, and he would check up on me every now and again. And just as we began to talk, I really started to trust him. And we started talking Invicta a whole lot, and, you know, push came to shove. I signed with him, and we got that, you know, we got the contract almost instantaneously. And he just, you know, he always makes sure that I have in my mind that, you know, and that things are secure, that he is working on, you know, moving forward with things. And he always keeps me posted about everything. And that's what I've liked so much, is anytime there's a change or something he finds out, he's always on the phone with me. So that's been great. And he's just always, you know, reassuring me, don't think too much. Don't worry about it. Go train. Don't worry about it. So that's what I love.
And obviously for, you know, fighters out there who are looking to go pro and, you know, find management firms, you know, he has done not just that, but I believe you've got a new sponsor as of today already, correct?
I did, actually. Jason just told me excuse me, the team from Tough Print out of Las Vegas actually just picked me up. They're going to be doing my banners and my sport, you know, my sports bra, my shorts, and everything for my fights. So that's a very big one. So I wanted to give a big thank you actually to Jason and to the guys from Tough Print for you know, doing, for putting work in like that, because that's going to be a huge weight off my shoulders, is getting somebody who is more than willing to do my logos and my banners. That's a huge, huge thing. So that's Tough Print out of Vegas. I want to say thank you for that for sure. And thank you, Jason, for pulling that together.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's got to be a great thing about, you know, having management behind you, is helping you get some of these things covered so that you can focus on training. And, you know, I know you, I know you're pretty, you try to stay stress-free as much as possible in your life. So that's really cool that, you know, one less thing you need to worry about while you train for your Invitka debut coming up January 5th. So I got to, you know, big shout out. I'm proud of you, girl. You know, when we met you and asked to become one of your sponsors, and, you know, you hung out with us and the whole crew that was here that weekend for, I believe it was like Budo 7 or Budo 8, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, you know, Lepaki and Devin and all of us. It was a blast to meet you. And we knew back then, you know, you were serious. This is what you were going to do. And I'm very honored to have your contract hanging on the wall in here. I think that's super effing cool, man. That's the shit, dude, right there.
Yeah, thank you. That was really, that really touched me. Like when I saw that, you sent me a photo of how you framed my contract. That was cool. I like that.
Yeah, now what I just need you to do is next time you're in town, we'll have you sign with just the top sheet with big black marker, real, you know, big. That way, you know. Because there's a lot of sheets in that contract, man.
Yeah, it's like a 14-pager. It's cool.
Yeah, it is. You know,
I know. As soon as I printed that thing out, I was like, whoa, like, this is for real shit right here. I gotta read this.
Yeah, that's, like, for me, I couldn't even get past, like, the big words. I was like, after, you know, like, that first A-B paragraph refers to the information in CD/F that there'll be no viable income perceived from the multiple. I was like, what? I don't even know what these people are saying, man. They can. So I actually never read it because it was way too
easy. Right.
One of these days, I'll have Lepaki read it to me for like a bedtime story.
Right. It'd be like some Gone with the Wind shit.
Well, Miss Amanda, you know, I want to give you a chance to give a shout out to any sponsors and let all the fans find you on any social media like Facebook or Twitter. Well, we got you.
For sure, man. Again, I want to say thank you to Jason Elias from Relentless Sports Management and Marketing, my manager, and for the guys from Tough Print from Las Vegas for taking me on to print all my banners and my shorts and everything. You guys, I'm awesome. I can't wait to see what the work that they do for me. My coach, Jose Monofor from Fabian's MMA, he's going to be there in my corner actually for my fight, and that's, I think, one of the greatest things I could give him for all the work he's put into me for free for the last 2-3 years, and all the time he's put into me. He's going to be in my corner for my first pro fight, and, you know, that's going to be my only first pro fight. Again, I'm happy about that. And my jiu-jitsu coach, Pete, Pistol Pete Longcaraver from Lowe's Club, I want to say hi to him and his whole family. You guys have been great. And all my teammates, all my guys out there, and my whole family, just everybody, things are changing. This is going to be big. And everybody out there who's supporting me and wishing me good, thank you. Everybody, thank you.
You want to get your sponsors?
Sorry, my phone cut out there. I'm sorry, man, you glitched. What'd you say?
Did you want to be your sponsors? What sponsors you do have?
I want to say hi to Charlie LePerry from over at LePerry Sport and Fitness. He's the one who I do my conditioning and my weight training with. He's kind of a local sponsor I picked up, and he's been training me for several months now. Yeah, he's been a great, great guy to me. Eric Salas, he did my photos a while back from his company is Eric Salas Productions. He takes fantastic pictures and does amazing video. He's just a fantastic person. So I want to thank him because his pictures actually opened up the eye for people to actually see me from a different light, and it really that, you know, they've really created a wave of results. So I want to say hi to Eric for that too.
And Miss Amanda, I know that right now.
Hold on. How fun is it living at the dojo? I want to know that. Or is it more pain in the ass?
I love it. I forgot to say hi to the guys at Max Muscle, dude. Mike, Hewitt, and Keith. I got, yeah, and Dominic, all those guys. Holy crap. I totally almost forgot them. So, those guys have been a huge help to me from over at Max Muscle. I couldn't ask for better on that. But living at the dojo has been great. I get a lot of alone time out there. It gets a little lonely sometimes, but I'll have company come out there and just, you know, visit me every once in a while. But I'm never 100% alone because classes are always going. But I love it. Like, I just, I don't know. I can't even put into words how it feels. I love it. It's rough. It's a little tough, but I like it.
Do you find that maybe at times you feel like you're too immersed in the game? Or do you have a good balance going right now?
I don't know. I don't know. I've never really looked at it that way. It's a home for me. So wherever I lay my head, I call home, and I'm just comfortable there all the time. I feel safe. I like being there. So I've never really thought of it that way. It's just, I wake up and it's just like instant motivation all over.
Yeah, no, it sounds like you got a good balance then, if that's the feeling you get.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy it, and I help my coach keep everything all organized and clean in there, too, and he really appreciates that. But it's been great.
Well, dude, I'm ready to watch you beat some ass. I'm ready to watch you beat some ass on the dope-ass Invicto stream.
Oh, yeah. And, Miss Amanda, I got a fan out there who says, don't go crazy at your Black Life party tonight.
I don't plan to, trust me.
Okay. And also, another fan wants you to know that the 145 division needs to take notice as of today that the Lady Killer is coming.
Hell yeah.
So,
that's awesome.
Congratulations. Go ahead,
Milwaukee. She's going to be on the card with that freaking Australian badass, dude, Beck Rowdy Hyatt.
Beck Hyatt, I know, how cool is that? You got to hang out with that.
That just hit me.
Cool. Card is that?
Oh, absolutely. I actually just got done just looking up a couple of Beck's fights. She's pretty tough.
Yeah, I'm posting some of her fights on my wall, man. That chick's kind of crazy. I like her.
Dude, she's fun to watch, Amanda. Obviously, you guys aren't in the same weight class, but she's super exciting like you. She's fun to watch. Her last fight, Lapaki can probably answer more of this than I could, but the young lady that stepped up on very short notice to fight her before she got her call to come to Invicta, dude, she obliterated that chick. It wasn't even close.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but she wasn't happy about that because, like, her original opponent, like, got denied her entry into Australia, like, as she got to the airport. So they had an opponent change on, like, 23 hours notice. And this chick took her pro debut on 23 hours notice against somebody like Beck is probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, she's
Beck Hyatt, you don't ever do that.
Like Matt Kobach, where like if you look at her record, you might like overlook the talent that she has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, I hate that stupid saying, but records are really for DJs.
Huh. That's true. But you don't do something like that. Yeah.
Well, Miss Amanda, enjoy the rest of your night. You know that all the fans are going to get a serious sit-down interview with you on MattHouse.com Live Wednesday the 28th at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For everybody, you guys know this show's just friends hanging out. This isn't like anything hardcore, but we're going to really get into the questions with her and have a real in-depth interview. on Wednesday with her. You guys should definitely check that out. Young lady, you know I'm going to talk to you over the next few weeks. You have a wonderful night, and thank you for everything, you know, coming on here tonight on short notice.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. You know how much I love sitting and talking with all of you. You guys are the best. Thank you.
Well, anybody else got to say anything before we let her go and go into a commercial?
War Lady Killer.
Word.
War Lady Killer.
Well,
have a good one.
War, gentlemen. War it is. War
good
you
night,
shall
night.
Have. Good night, guys. Nice talk to you.
Goodbye. Okay, guys. You got 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
For what?
We're going to play a commercial break because I need a head check.
Oh, well, hold on. Don't start it yet.
I will give you the stars in the sky, but they're too far away. If you are a hooker, you know I'd be happy to pay. If suddenly you were a guy, I'd be suddenly gay. 'Cause my heart is coming.
Why am I? What
is,
oh my God.
You're the only girl that I like to screw when I'm not on the road. When I come home, my dinner's made and the front lawn is mowed. I'll kiss your mouth even after you swallow my love.
everybody, we're back. I hope you enjoyed that. That was a little Steel Panther with some community property. The next hour, we're just going to kick back and BS. I want to give a big shout out to Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Yes, actually, I was. Everybody, getclinched.com. Go out right now. And until the end of the month at midnight, if you buy a custom mouth guard, you get a free matching boil and bite.
I think that's correct. Isn't that right, Jeff?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Everybody, Jesse Quinn, shut the mouth guards. Like I said before, we're back on with Lepaki, my partner in crime, and our Midwest gangster, the white E-40 from out in Missouri, Chris Gregory. And tonight we're just hanging out like always on Rogues and BSing about whatever we want. Most of it's MMA related. But Jeff,
it's
you,
to goofball so people can listen. Let's open up the phone lines, man.
Yeah, 310-742. Call in, talk MMA, tell us what's going on. Jeff, to answer your question.
Debate Chris Gregory on air. It'll be fun for you.
Yo, check this out in Vegas, right? Me and this lady were arguing about Carlos Condit GSP on the bus ride. Dude, she straight up, she dominated me, dude. I'm not even kidding. It was disgusting. Like, she was like, GSP will win because of this. And I was like, damn, she knew what she was talking about. I was like, all right, well, I got to get off here. I stepped off the bus. I was like, damn, she won that argument. I was embarrassed.
You should have just tried to talk about a different organization, and then you would have won.
Oh, she would have been like, huh?
Yeah, she would be like, that? Oh, there's what organization? I've never heard of
that. Do they train USC?
how's your UFC training going?
Who, mine?
Yeah.
It's all right, you know.
Did you get any road work in today?
You know, a little bit here and there. You know, here's the thing is that I need to get my cardio right, and that's what I'm working on right now before I do anything because my cardio is horrible. And after December 8th, when I go to a gym, I don't want to be going in there and just gassing out and looking stupid. So I'm just trying to get my cardio right at the moment. It really needs to get right.
Yeah, so, that needs to be like your focus, bro.
Yeah, that's basically the first fight, my first fight, all I did was learn the basics, you know, and, you know, learn how to control the fight. And then, and my cardio was good. I mean, I lasted 9 minutes. So, you know, it was three rounds in Missouri. It's 3 minute rounds. Thank God it's not 2 minute rounds. 2 minute rounds is horrible. And, you know, we went all three rounds and my cardio was good. I mean, I was good after the fight. But right now, you know, I went to the gym the other day, and, man, I gassed out quick. I looked horrible. You know, I let the dude that shouldn't have been wrestling me like that because I was just, I mean, he was kicking my ass. I mean, he was taking me down left and right because my cardio was just trash. I had nothing for him. So I'm just trying to get my cardio up so that, you know, I could at least stay in there. Hopefully it's not a long fight. You know, hopefully I just go in there and swing, but we all know, you know, that doesn't necessarily happen, so let's see what happens. I just want to bang with this guy, though, really. You know, my last fight was kind of boring, so I'd really like to get a knockout. Hell, a submission would be great, too. Either way, I don't care.
Would you rather knock a guy out or make him tap out to strike?
I'd rather get a knockout. I mean, either way, you win. Either way, you win. I don't care, you know. Honestly, when I go in there, as long as my hand gets raised, that's all I care about. But, you know, I did get a little criticism for you know, Cage controlling the guy. And, you know, I just knew his coach, you know, and his coach is a good jiu-jitsu guy. So I knew not to, you know, take him to the ground. So I just kept him up against the cage. And it was my first fight, so it's whatever. But a knockout, that's a clean win, you know, and that's, I don't know, that's a great highlight for anyone. I mean, you know, people bitch about tapping the strikes, and I don't care. If someone taps the strikes, that just shows you must be hitting them hard enough for them to be tapping. So either way, it's a good win.
I think I would always rather make somebody tap out the strikes. As cool as a knockout is, you only remember it until the next cool knockout. But when you tap a dude to strikes, like, that sticks out. You're like, man, you tapped out the strikes, bro.
Hey, Lepaki, look at the threat. Tell me which one you want to do.
Look at what one?
If either. The one we're all in.
Oh. I don't care.
you guys just want to kick back and keep the estimates? Because I'm curious to ask Chris, honestly. I mean, we don't get a chance to really grill him as a fighter because he's just a buddy and a teammate on Madhouse. But, you know, you were talking about the cardio. You know, be honest with us. You know, we're your boys. How tough is it? Because, you know, I'm built like you, you know. How tough is it to get in there every day, and, you know, or as often as you can and focus on the cardio when you can have maybe fun doing striking or, you know, something else?
Yeah, it's hard to get in the gym either way for me because I got kids and, you know, me and my girl both work. So it's kind of hard to get in the gym all the time. So when I do get in there, I like to train cardio. I mean, right now it's just cardio. It's not even, it's nothing else. I mean, I don't even, at the moment, striking is not even a thing for me. Wrestling, I don't even care. A game plan for my fight right now, I don't care about that either. I just care about getting my cardio right so that I can implement all that stuff going into the fight, because I haven't even figured out where I'm going to train full-time at for this fight. My guess is Kansas City with Dallas Browning. Because he's great with, you know, getting people in shape, dude. And, you know, he's willing to let me stay there. So, you know, staying at his house would be discipline. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because he would help me out to the fullest.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying you might stay in Tulsa.
Yeah, you know, I could go to Tulsa also with Gerald Harris. It's just either way. I mean, I'm like, it's either way. I'd like to do one or the other, you know? I don't know. It's one or the other. I just haven't figured it out yet.
You need to get some Shroom Tech Sport, man. So they're having a huge sale right now at onnit.com. 25% off till the 27th. Get you some Shroom Tech Sport.
What is
you
that?
You know what he needs to do? Have you been working out with that stretchy suit shit?
Oh, the mass suit. Actually, last time I went to show fight, I'm actually letting a gym, a Springfield Hybrid Martial Arts, I'm actually letting them test it out for, actually at the moment, so.
So well, hopefully did you I see that? Amanda, there. We should have asked Amanda, she uses it.
Dude, that thing, from every review I've got so far, that thing is fantastic. The training mask, I heard it's like, he said it's really good and everything. But, like, there's negative in that it falls off your face all the time. You know what I mean? Like, after you get, you know, warmed up or whatever. But, like,
yeah.
I like it because, like, for me, when I wear that thing, the training mask, it generates heat. So, like, I sweat easier. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, whoa. I mean, that thing, for real, like, I could spar maybe 2-3 minute rounds with that thing on, and that's it. I'm like, dude, that's enough for me. I can't breathe in that thing for some reason.
So,
but that's the one that just goes over your nose and mouth, not over your whole face. I've never used the one that goes over your whole face. I don't know how that one
works. Now, have
it's
you
just,
ever tried a snorkel?
It's like a Vanderlei Silva snorkel.
Yeah. Well, dude, you know, it's funny. You know, I see guys here locally who run the Buttes. They run them with snorkels. And they just take a piece of tape and they cover, like, you know, 50-60% of that snorkel as they progress. I was just curious. You know, I don't know how well it works compared to a training mask, honestly. I mean, obviously, training mask has mask design in it, you know, to give you, because I know Derek does that, like, 9,000 feet altitude, maybe, is it? I don't know how high it goes, but he does, like, the max setting and rides that trike, like, at 2 a.m. downtown, man. And if you guys were to see this dude, like 6'3", like big old burly guy with a mohawk and alligators tattooed on his head, cruising down on a trike, the cops just stare at him, dude, because he's got that training mask on. He looks like a serial killer on the loose, man, because there's no cars that early in the small town he lives in. So, you know, he just cruises right around. But, dude, he loves the training mask. He thinks it's the best device he's ever come across for cardio. So, I don't know. I've never used it.
Labaki,
have you ever used
it?
Yeah,
there's mixture. Nah, dude. Just go run, bro. Just go run, man. Run as long as you can. Make sure you can run for 15 minutes straight.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, I try to make sure I can run longer than that. You know what I mean? Like, man, I'm just, that cardio is just killing me at the moment. But it has to get right before I go and train with a gym like, you know, where Dallas trains at, or even with Gerald Harris and, you know, Ghost Dog.
That's where I go. Where do you live?
Actually, right now I'm in Pittsburgh, Kansas.
Okay, you're in Kansas.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there is a gym here.
Yo, what's up?
and that's where I go, you know what I mean? So, it's all right, you know. The boxing instructor is really good. He's a cool dude. It's just, you know, there's places I've trained before that when I walk in, I feel like I'm a family there, you know. And this isn't one of those gyms where I feel like that here. I'm just being real, you know what I mean? I like the gym and everything. It's just, you know, it's not where I want to be. I want to be with guys like Gerald Harris and, you know, Dallas Browning, James Krause, you know, Tim Elliott from the UFC, you know, guys like that that could really, really help me, you know, on another level.
Because I do
media and stuff like that, you know, a lot of gyms are willing to give me access and willing to help me out, and I love that. You know what I mean? I thank them for that.
Hey, how far from St. Louis are you?
Oh, that's...
He's like 13 hours. Are you 14 hours?
Yeah. Oh. No, it's probably like 6 hours, I'd say. That's just a guess.
Well,
no
way. We got a friend down in Florida, you know, with Relentless Sports Management, and they're listening. They said if you ever get a chance to shoot out towards St. Louis, let him know. He could probably hook you up to train with Luigi out there. He's the USC vet, you know, so he's going to be out
Vontae?
There. Is that your you know, I didn't even have to finish saying you knew who I was talking about. If you're out that way, you should hit up Jason, man, from Relentless, and, you know, let him see if he can help you get some time in there with him.
Okay, cool. Yeah, man, I mean, wherever, you know. I mean, it's just, I have kids, so, you know, even when I was in Vegas for 4 days, honestly, I got homesick. But, you know, my girl is willing to, you know, let me go for 2 weeks and train with, 2 or 3 weeks and train with the best guys I can. She doesn't want to see me lose. She don't even go to my fights, which makes it so much more stress-free for me. You know what I mean? The less people I have, I like for, you know, my friends to be there, but the less people, you know, the better, because then I don't have to worry about it. But
yeah,
everyone knows me. What?
Do you freak yourself out?
No, not really. Actually, before my fight, I was chill, and I was just like, it's just another fight. I'm 27, so I've been in a lot of fights, and you know what I mean? It's not, it's either you get beat up or you beat somebody up. Either way, it's whatever. You know, I don't plan on being an undefeated fighter forever. You know, I mean, I just want to go in there and put on a show and have fun. And
if you never fought again, you could be undefeated forever.
I know it. I still plan on being undefeated after I fight in January. Because this dude, I mean, he just did, all right, because my last fight, I knew the dude's coach, and I was real respectful, but this fight, I got this dude lipping off and putting stuff on Facebook and just trying to act hard, and it's like, dude, you know what I mean? Like, you're mad because I put up a video of you getting beat up by a 56-year-old dude. Don't get upset. You want to fight me? Let's do it.
Oh,
you know
you're
what
talking
I mean?
About
Let's
those guys that Don Wilson beat.
Yeah, Don Williams. I was like, well, dude, hey, this is how it works. I said, if you really want to do it, he was talking shit like, let's fight on the street. You know what I mean? I'm like, dude, if you really want to do it, if you're supposed to be a cage fighter, I'll put you at 0-3, and then you can be done in this sport. Now, I don't care. I plan on bringing it to this dude. And don't get me wrong, Grappa's a beast. So, you know what I mean? That fight really doesn't prove nothing about Doug, because Grandpa is a straight beast. You know,
you beat
that,
Grandpa?
I wouldn't even say that because that's messed up, first of all, for me to say something like that. And I would never take on a 56-year-old fighter because that is a lose-lose. You beat him, and then, hey, you beat up a 56-year-old fighter. If you lose to him, then you got 2,500 views on YouTube. You know? Hell no, I wouldn't. Hey, I would never take that fight. I'm just being honest. But here's the thing, is if I did, I would be respectful going into that fight. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be a dick, and I wouldn't be talking, you know, trash on a 56-year-old fighter who, in my eyes, dude, that is awesome. You know, anybody that gets in there at that age and, you know, has a great record and has had a title and didn't even get into the cage until he was in his 50s. You know what I mean? I love that. It's an inspiration. Like, it's great. That's why I want to fight him, because he wants to talk trash. This isn't the streets. You know what I mean? It's a cage fight. And
I think it's more important to fight him there and do it in front of, you know, a set of rules.
Why would I put myself at risk fighting on the streets ever again? You know what I mean? Ever since I got in MMA, like, all right, back in the day, if someone popped off at the mouth, you know, it'd be on. I would just swing and hit them, and, you know, we would fight. Nowadays, I just laugh at people. You know, I just have that. Ever since I got into MMA, I just have that calmness kind of, you know, where it's just like, God, that dude's dumb. You know what I mean? I just stay away from it. I just try not to get involved in petty fights and stuff like that. So when this dude said something about fighting in the streets, I said, hey, let's just do it in the cage. And, you know, and I could get it on record. And I could put it up on YouTube. You know, once again. You know what I mean? That's how I feel about it.
So how good is it going to feel for you to be able to stand up afterwards and say, look, you got beat by a 56-year-old guy. You got beat by a 27-year-old guy. You should be done. This situation.
I wouldn't say that. I don't think I would say that because I'm not really like that.
Well,
I'm not
saying
that's
words, but I'm saying that's the situation. When it's all done, you're going to be like, you lost to a 56-year-old. You lost to a 27-year-old. I came in. I beat you. You need to, you know, it's done. It's over.
And what's great is that
your foot in your mouth, so just do it.
Hey, look, what's great about
shit,
it is
man.
That
come on. Give in.
Look,
give in and talk
here's
some
what's
shit.
Great
it's
about
okay.
me fighting anywhere in this area is that no matter what, I got so many people that back me up from so many different teams that you know, no one really likes this guy, and everyone wants to see me kick his ass, and that's why I got this fight. You know, I got it because JT Tilly was listening to a radio show, and I knew it. And I was like, hey, you know, I want to fight in January. Someone put me on a card. I'm sick of waiting for a card, and he put me on. You know, he didn't even put me on a show fight. He put me on another card in order for me to fight, which I'm grateful for because I'm just ready to fight, man. I'm ready to get back in there because it's my motivation. It's like if I don't have a fight lined up, I'm just a lazy fucker, straight up. End of story. And, you know, just keep lining up fights in 2013. I'm going to try to fight at least 5 times in 3 months. No, screw that. I'm going to even make it more than that. I just plan on fighting. Screw it.
Are you going to try and fight as often as Bruce Richards?
I don't know, dude. I don't know, man. That dude fights a lot. You know, and here's the thing, too, is that, you know, I'm 1-0 as an amateur. No lie. I get pro offers a lot. Me and Skippy were talking about this earlier. Like, I get some crazy offers that I'd love to do. I just know that I'm not even close to being ready. But in my area, some of the heavyweights that are pros are easier to beat than the Ammies. And that's a true statement right there. Some of these dudes walk around with their titles, you know, at other shows, and you're like, are you serious? You know, it's like, dude, I could take your title, and I'm an amateur fighter. So, like, I got an offer this week, $1,000 to fight, man. I wanted to take it so bad. But, you know, I know I'm not ready, and I'd love to take that. But, you know, I always have stuff to say on people about them taking fights too early and, you know, and going pro too early. So, if I did it, I'd just be that hypocrite. So, I didn't take it. I'd love to, though. I'd love to take it.
Well, much respect.
So you're saying
to you
that there's
that.
An open and available heavyweight fight out there for somebody that does want to take it, though?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You know, we always do that at MMA Madhouse Fight Finder. We always try to get fighters. We actually need more fighters in there from my area, you know, to fill fights, actually.
And Chris's area for you goofballs that are listening is Kansas, Missouri,
Oklahoma.
Northern or Southern Nebraska,
hey,
Eastern
don't
Colorado.
They're looking for a 170 pro in Oklahoma for December 1st against Tyler Stenson. And
yeah,
he's 23-9.
You know, look, here's the thing is I called somebody on that fight. And here's the thing is that stepping up against Tyler Stenson on, you know, on a few days' notice is probably not the smartest idea for any fighter. You know what I mean? Like, that's a tough fight. That dude is tough. And there's probably guys that will step up. But, I mean, that's a crazy fight to step up on a few days' notice. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Well, you know.
Is that going to be a 170, right?
Yeah.
Man,
you
know. Could talk Thomas Longacre out of retirement.
Don't forget, Tyler's most recent losses are to Jordan Mean and Tarek Saperdine. Those are
guys that's pretty legit strike force prospect.
Yeah, Tarek Saperdine is fighting, what's his name, Nate Marquardt for the title, actually, in January.
Yeah.
Instead, which really, honestly, I think that Jason High should be fighting for that title. Do you guys know who Jason High is? Probably not.
Yeah, we know who the Kansas City Bandit is. Come on.
Because Strike Force is dirty. He don't even play his fights, you know, even though he wins in 24 seconds. You know, he won his last fight in 24 seconds, and they didn't even air it. Like, they didn't have time or something. It was 24 seconds. Come on. That dude deserves
deserves a shot ahead of Tarek Saperdine?
Well, he's 3-0 in Strikeforce. He hasn't lost. You know, he hasn't lost a fight since he got released from the UFC. I think he's on a 7-fight win streak. That's why I think he deserves a shot. 7-fight win streak. Tarek Saperdine is a top-level fighter, but his career is up and downs. Real talk.
Well, no, I agree. I don't think that Saperdine is like a world beater. And, you know, I mean, I think he's beatable. But, I mean, hold on, I'm trying to pull up. I got to remember who Jason's last three fights were with.
Nate Moore. Somebody else named Moore with the last name Moore. And then I think Jordan Mean. No, I don't think so. That's wrong way to go.
I'm almost positive he hasn't fought Jordan.
Oh, and Quinn Mulhern or something like that. The KOTC guy.
Quahagan?
Do what?
Are you talking about Quahagan? The guy that fights in Bellator now that just lost to...
No, I'm talking about Quinn Mulhern or whatever. That's who I'm talking about.
Oh, shit.
What? Did we lose Jeff? I never been so quiet. I feel like I'm only talking to Chris Gregory.
I know. Man. It's just us.
No,
man. Hey,
dude,
us.
I'm sitting here letting you guys just BS, man, and I just looked over at the board, and I'm like, wow, we're down a lot of callers.
You know, but really, though, I will take what I said back a little bit because Tarek Saperdine is on a 3-fight win streak. He only lost to Tyrone Woodley. But they're all decisions. And
so
you know,
put him up against
high.
Me. Put him up against me.
Yeah, but Jason High has 3 decision wins in his last 5 fights, too. So while he's finished, too, you know, he's also had more fights go the distance. And he went the distance. Like, I mean, and one of his finishes was Rudy Bears. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Rudy Bears, but, I mean, you know, he's not going to ever be in the Strike Force or Bellator.
He was in
Bellator,
on short notice to fight Paul Daly. I mean, come on, the dude's a The dude's a fighter, though. He takes any fight.
I'm not saying anything. You know, I mean, I'm just telling you that, you know.
And Jason Hyde,
I mean, my thing with somebody stealing is that isn't like taking anything away from him. You know, it's just the facts.
Jason Hyde has beat Jordan Mean, actually. He has a win over Jordan. But he's on a 7-5 win streak after losing to Charlie Brenneman. You know, he got signed to USC and then lost and then got cut. Basically, that's ridiculous. You get one loss and, you get cut. That sucks. But, I mean, there's so many people. I don't know, man. There's not.
I'd like to see him fight Jay Haran.
It's hard to even say because Strikeforce has no one. You know what I mean? Like, they have.
Strikeforce is done, bro.
Yeah. It sucks. It's crazy.
Now it's going to be. I mean, surely he's
going
to sign with the Beast.
Well, what do you think?
I
want to
see
him
fight Jay Haran
again.
I think a good entry fight for him into the UFC is him versus Jay Haran.
That'd be a good fight. I think he'd take that fight in a minute, too.
Well, I'm sure he would. He probably wants to redeem that loss. Dude, he got knocked down the first round.
I don't know. I think, honestly, that even though Jordan Mean lost to Jason Hyde, if you look at their fights since 2010, I think Jordan Mean is a much, much better fighter. And I think that if you were to put them in a rematch today, Jordan Mean would kick him right back to the curb. He wouldn't have a run up there.
Oh hell no! I don't think so at all.
I think that fight would go the distance and be a hell of a fight.
I think that Jason Hyde's Brazilian jiu-jitsu skills are coming along quite well, and I think people are going to see that in whatever fights he has coming up. I mean, the dude is strong. The dude is he's.
Yeah, but Mean's 22, Hyde's 31. Hyde's at his peak. Mean's 30.
Yeah, you're right.
Let's be honest. You know, you put him in against Jay Haran. Obviously, it's a great rematch, you know, and it would be kind of cool, you know, to see, you know, where they both have come after all that time. But I don't know. I think Jason Hyde has one shot, and it has to be great fights that fit him to get a run at anything serious at this stage. I mean, Charlie Brenneman is not a top 10 fighter in the UFC.
Yeah,
you know?
that fight was boring, though.
It was, and Zamorskis, you know, he's a phenomenal knockout artist, so you got to kind of give that as a wash. But the Jay Haran makes to me a very interesting fight at today. You know, what's it been, 4 years or 5 years, something like that, since they fought?
Yeah, about 4 years or something.
So I think that'd be an interesting fight, honestly.
I think that'd be a good fight. It'd be a great fight. It'd be a great rematch. I don't know.
What?
I don't know either. I mean,
what about
hopefully Jake these guys
versus Evangelista?
I don't even, I mean, what's up with Evangelista? Is he getting a fight anytime soon? I mean, what's up with that guy?
I don't know.
Hold on, Billy or
back
Cyborg?
Santos.
Yeah. Who?
Santos?
Who is he talking about?
What, we got a fucking owl in the booth?
Who is this guy talking about, though?
Who?
I thought he was talking about Billy Evangelista. Well, for a second, I thought we were talking about Jason Hyde and Jay Haran, and then somehow it got twisted into Billy Evangelista. But I think he's talking about Evangelista Santos, Cyborg, or whatever.
Yes, that's who I'm talking about as a test for him, for Jason Hyde.
That's not a test. That's a step back.
Yeah, I agree with Chris on that one.
Good. I'm just throwing out names right now.
What I'm going to say, he had one of the best fights ever with Melvin Manoff, You know what I mean? That was the best fight I've seen in.
Okay.
That's one of the best fights ever.
Chris, what about Jason High going down in February and fighting Josh Berkman for the title down at Showdown?
Hey, that would be good. That would be good, dude. Hey, man, I'm going to say
Josh
this right now.
Josh impressed the shit out of me.
Josh Berkman is tough. That dude is strong. He has great skills. He is, dude, Jairo Harris told me after that fight that that dude is a true champ. And even Gerald's coaches were like, that dude's a true champ. That dude is tough, man. And Gerald hasn't lost in a long time. And that's one of my best friends in this game, you know what I mean? He's had some boring fights, you know, because his hands have been broken. But, you know, hey, Gerald's my friend through and through, and I'll support that dude no matter what he does. I think he was about to retire at the World Series of Fighting after Josh beat him. But, you know, I think Rampage and his corner, you know, talked him out of that. And I think that was a good call, you know. But he knows it's coming. It's close, you know what I mean? And he knows that. But Josh Berkman, man, that dude impressed the fuck out of me. That dude is great.
Did you see his fight the other night?
Oh, just the other night?
Dude, you got to see his fight with David Castillo, man. Oh, that fight was honestly, it was just an impressive fight.
You're talking about Justin Bullshult.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude. What, I was like, what is
this? Hold on a second.
You are so off. You are so off tonight, Skip. For real. I'm talking about Josh Berkman. You're talking about Justin Bullshult.
I don't know why I went to him. I'm the one who brought up Josh. Because they had a great fight, you know. Dude, it's all the pills I'm on, man. I've been real sick the last few days.
Here's the thing, too, about Gerald is that he does not let his hands go anymore because he's broke his hand. I think he feels like, I don't know what it is, you know what I mean? And I'd love to get him on the show and just ask him, you know what I mean, like, what, you know, what's going on, you know, because he has some great boxing. That's all he's been training is boxing, and he just does not use it. And as a friend and a fan, you know, it pisses me off. You know, I'm like, throw your hands, let your hands go. I even got in trouble at the World Series of Fighting because, you know, I was yelling and I was, you know, I'm media. I guess I'm not supposed to do that. But, you know, anyway, you know, he's my friend. So I had to put the media thing down for a minute and just be a, you know, a friend and a fan and try to, you know, get at him. But man, he just does not let his hands go. Frustrating.
Okay, man. So here's the question, the Gerald Harold question everybody wants to answer to. Is Gerald Harris a better fighter or a better comedian?
Comedian. Right at this point in his career, he knew. Hey, you know what? It came off immediately. Did you hear? It didn't take me no time to hesitate. That dude is one of the funniest people I have ever been around, and he is great. I mean, Rampage is kind of a comedian, but Gerald Harris, he's a true comedian. Next time I go to a show, I'll record it, man, because it is, dude, it's funny, man. That's what I think, you know, he's focused on right now is more of the comedy. And I don't blame him. You know what I mean? It's paying. You know what I mean? Like, can you hate on him for that? Not really.
No, I said that's cool.
No,
I mean,
man,
I think it's good. Yeah, I mean.
But I had to know. I had to know, man. Is he as good as...
Yeah.
What, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, he is definitely, you know, he's a fighter comedian. That's what he says. He's a fighter comedian, and he's a fighter and a comedian. And I think that he doesn't have that killer instinct anymore. You know, just getting older, I just don't think he has that killer instinct no more. I hope he don't hear this and kick my ass if I go to his gym. I'll probably get it. But it's all right.
I'm going to make sure he gets a copy of it.
Oh, dude, I'm writing up a post right now. Chris Gregory says Gerald Harris is done.
I didn't say that, man. Never said that.
He says it's time to go on Last Comic Standing, bro.
Oh, update.
Hey, man,
Chris Gregory
would,
says he's
he
washed
win that.
Up.
He would, hey, he would win that. I don't think at all he's washed up. I just don't think that That
I
killer instinct is there. Don't put words in my mouth, motherfucker.
Hey, dude, if he's such a good comedian, man, you know, maybe we'll see him in, you know, another aspect in his life as he progresses. Maybe stand-up comedian, TV show, maybe wrestling.
Yeah,
who
I mean,
knows?
He does a show every third Sunday. It's called Chocolate City Sundays, and let me tell you, I've been there, and it is Chocolate City. I was, like, the only white person there.
Is that,
I mean?
Is that at the GCC?
Is that at
the Greenwood Cultural Center?
Yeah, that's exactly where it's at.
Is that by the Apollo?
No, dude. It's like that's okay. So the Greenwood Cultural Center was like where I used to go. That's where they used to have all the MMA fights in Tulsa, man. Like back in 01, 02, 03. Like I used to go there and watch Thomas Longacre throw down like on the regular. It was freaking great.
Thunder kick.
Yeah, dude. That guy, like back when that guy was fucking beating heads in back in the early 2000s, man. He was probably, if he'd have got the right breaks back then, man. I think he could have made the big show.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
Mikey Burnett's gym
was right across the street. Mikey Burnett's gym was right across the street from the gym I worked at. So I ran into those guys all the time, man. It was great. Like Tulsa's always had
a
good fight scene, even with Apollo's.
That's a legend. Yeah, I mean, Apollo's has Randy Blake, you know, and he's he's grown as a fighter, and he's fought Mirko Krokop, and, you know, he beat Dewey Cooper, which, you know, wasn't at the top of his game at the time, but, you know, I mean, hell, when you're fighting Mirko Krokop, I think you've went a long way in your career and went to a decision. And even
Dewey Cooper's at in his career right now, when Dewey Cooper gives you the compliments he gave Randy Blake in that post-fight press conference, I don't give a shit that, you know. I mean, we all, you know, we obviously like Randy Blake, you know, and we all think he can scrap. But, I mean, you know, when you hear a comment from a guy who I consider to be a legend in kickboxing and Dewey Cooper, to say what he said about Randy Blake just really confirms what we all think.
Yeah, for sure. Dude.
And if anybody listening doesn't think that Dewey, the Black Cobra fucking Cooper, is a fucking legend in kickboxing, call up.
Don't call up because I don't want to have to hang up on your dumb ass.
That's great.
Like that guy, dude, when we were on Dukes and DiBiase show, like, I don't know, 2 years ago almost. I was on their show one night, and this guy called up, and he goes, I just want everyone to know the UFC's fake. They're all rigged fights. Just like this. I was like, they hung up on that guy. I was like, dude. I know there are not people that stupid who believe the UFC is fake. That is just, they're like, come on now.
Dude, that's like when Chael Sonnen, I love the dude, but that's like when Chael Sonnen was saying Pride was fake. I'm sure there were some fucked up things that happened in Pride, you know? I mean, I'm sure there was some messed up stuff, but that's just a knock to all the real, to the legends, my legends, you know what I mean? The people that I think are legends that fought over there in Pride.
Some of those were works, bro. I hate to break the news to you.
Like I said, I'm sure some of them were, you know what I mean? But, you know, but still, the ones that I've seen, there's no way you could have rigged a fight like that. When somebody snaps your arm or, you know, kicks you in the mouth.
Dude, pride is, you know, pride is what hooked a lot of us. I mean, I can tell you guys honestly that I used to laugh at people watching UFC back in, like, the late 90s and early 2000s.
People like us were watching, you know, at the same time as UFC is getting big, we're watching Rumble at the Rock. We're watching
Rumble at the Rock.
It won, awesome. You know. And dude, that was
Bodog, man. Bodog was the shit.
I remember
Bodog. Dude,
Bodog
had the best
ring. I remember
Bodog
when they fought in a jungle. There was like it was in a jungle, dude. It was sick.
I love it. He was on the ring with all mafioso and shit. You see all these guys and bodyguards sitting there at a table with a bottle of champagne. I love that. Bodogs, man. That dude, to me, that was one of the greatest MMA organizations I ever watched back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And Pro Elite, obviously, was like had so many different organizations, and that was sick.
Now, I know the posse, you might agree with this. I'm curious about Chris Gregory, but IFL, man, one of the best things, I think, that ever happened for this sport.
Oh yeah, and that's why I was so excited about the Triad Fight League. I'm not going to say anything because, you know, I can understand this guy wanting to do this thing, this Triad Fight League. I believe that's what it's called. I know he wants to do it, but man, you got to think about 300 fights. This guy wants 300 fights in 3 days. No commission. You know, when I heard about it, I was like, man, I support this guy. You know, and I still wish it would happen, but no commission is going to be able to handle 300 fights or 300 fighters, whatever it is, in 3 days. There's no way. That's 300 divas, you know what I mean?
I agree. I wish he would do like a tournament, like maybe do 7 events over a year with the finals, like at December time, and have teams fight each other, you know, over that year's time. Like maybe have, you know, a couple of events, you know, regionally each month, you know. And I think that I think it would be great to see that, or, you know, like a true gym wars. Like a true gym wars. You know, we pick 10 gyms. We'll pick 8 gyms, you know, and we'll break it down. We'll pick 2 from each region, 2, you know, and we'll break the country into 4, you know. And what we'll do is we'll match up these 7 weight classes versus these 7 weight classes, and you guys are going to go at it in a tournament style to where at the end of the year, you know, the best 2 fight off, you know. I think something like that would be just fucking sick.
Yeah, I love the team aspect. You know, I mean, it's great. And but he has a lot of fighters waiting on this thing, and they've been looking forward to it. And I just don't think it's gonna be able to happen like that. I mean, I hope, you know.
Yeah, but if you're a fighter and you're still waiting for this to go down, like, I have to question how bad you want to fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this is already like 2 months past like the go date.
Yeah,
if there's still dudes out there going, man, I'm waiting on this fight at Triad, bro. Well, dude, man, shit in one hand and wish in the other and see which one fills up faster.
Well, and then here's the thing. He put it in Texas, which, you know, I guess you could call the middle. I don't know how, but he put it in Texas, and he's gonna have to, you know, pay travel to how many coaches and, you know, how many cornermen, and that's just, I think it's impossible. I mean, I'm going to say that right now. It is impossible to do 300 fights or 300 fighters, whatever it is. I don't know what it is.
Or you could do something smart like Super Fight League and put on an event every single Friday. Big shout out to Charmaine, not so sweet tweet with her 45-second standing guillotine win. Chick is in the win column down there, Super Fight League. Mad love to her. And Cord and the rest of the teams. And
I did pick her to win by KO, so, you know, I'm a little upset about that, you know.
So did everybody else.
Didn't she have done the Thai boxing on her?
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess if you leave your neck out that much, you might as well.
No doubt.
Right. Well, did you watch that? Did you watch the fight? Because I watched the fight. And did you hear that guy, the announcer? He's like, no, the Indian girl has the advantage in the striking. Dude, I don't know if I'd ever laughed so hard.
Yeah, dude, no. Did you guys watch the Muhammad fight against the headliner? I forgot his name.
Oh, against Jimmy Ambries?
My boy got worked. He got worked.
Well, it was Jimmy Ambries for one. I picked your guy to win that fight. Okay, because I think probably a lot of it had to do with just the fact that I don't ever really pick Jimmy Ambries to win anymore. But I really thought your guy could have done better.
Yeah, well,
he got definitely
bum rushed, and then when he got on the ground, I mean, he was taking the punches without very much damage. Honestly, he did get split. But, I mean, he wasn't hurt, like, you know, okay, we got to stop this. He kept trying to defend and move. And when he got into that choke and the second time that he threw his hand up with the fucking thumb up, right then homeboy started tightening down on that choke and moving and repositioning. And I knew right then it was going to be over.
Ref doing, dude? Because I noticed the same thing. Like, why does he keep asking the guy if the dude's all right?
Leave the guy the fuck alone, bro. He doesn't have time to be thumbs up in you right now.
Yeah, that's what what I think screwed
Are
him.
You okay? Are you okay?
Yeah, I don't like when the ref talks to the fighters a lot, like a lot. I mean, you know, you got to tell them, you know, whatever you got to tell them. But there's some people that are like, keep going, boys, keep going.
Hey, but,
you know, you got the people looking across. You got the but then you got the fighter that's you know got the guy against the fence looking over at the ref like, you know, hey. Well,
but see, that's the thing is he had to pull his hand out from underneath the belly to throw the thumbs up. And that's when he got repositioned, and homeboys got in a better spot to lock down the choke. And that's something that was kind of aggravating me, because twice he had to pull his hand out from in stopping an attack, throw his thumb up. And I'm like, dude, either you – dude, I wish Jeff was on right now, because I want to know.
Is he not on?
No, he had to go, I guess. He's probably pretty busy. Everybody get clinch.com, get a custom mouth guard, get a free boiling pipe matches. Dudes, you know, I want to know, how come a referee is, I mean, he should be able to look at the guy and see that he's, you know, defending and, you know, underneath, you know, that he's not eyes rolling back. I mean, I didn't understand why he kept talking to him, and I didn't really, you know, it kind of irked me. I mean, obviously he lost. I mean, no doubts about it. You know, he got beat by a much better fighter that day. But I felt like being, like you said, almost distracted by having to sit there and deal and talk to a referee in the middle of you trying to defend a choke is stupid.
Hey, that's like, it's almost like the soccer kick thing that was happening in 1FC. You know, you'd have to wait for the referee, open guard, or what, you know, whatever they say. I don't even care. I don't even know anymore. Yeah, open guard, you know, and then the dude would kick him, and then they'd say, no kick, and then they get kicked anyway, you know. It's like, that was confusing, because you'd have to sit there and wait, you know, and wait. I mean, Matt Hume changed the rule, thank God, you know, that it's, you know, it's open soccer kick, no matter what. Go to that position, bow, you get kicked. I love those rules. I mean, any fighter that fights in, you know, in Asia or in 1FC that is willing to take a soccer kick in the face deserves some damn respect, because, you know, that's some serious that can cause some serious damage. You better get clinched if you're going to be fighting over there, for sure. For real.
I wish, dude, it just doesn't make sense to me why soccer kicks aren't allowed, you know? It should just be that way. It shouldn't be that way. There shouldn't be any question about it.
Yeah, because that's why I think you should be able to knee a guy from the side if you got him down, and he's just going to sit there and turtle up. I think you should be able to just knee the shit out of him. Not just his body, but his head too.
The worst thing is when the people play that game where their knees aren't down, but then their hand is down.
I think you should go a blast.
Yeah, my hand's down, my hand's up, my hand's down, my hand. You know, that if you're playing that game, I think you deserve to get, you know, kneed in the face. Because, you know, your knees aren't down. You're basically at the same point. I think that that needs to be a rule that's looked at. I think it should be, if your knees are down, then, you know, hey, no kicking them, obviously, or, you know, but if your knees are up and your hand is down on the ground and you're barely touching the ground with your fingers and you get kicked or kneed in the face, then, you know, you get kicked or kneed in the face, it's over. You know, that's like Dallas Browning, you know, the guy was getting up and he kicked him right in the chest and somehow got disqualified. And, you know, I mean, that's a bull crap, because the dude was on his, you know, he was up, you know, he was obviously up. And the referee didn't step in and, you know, say, hey, Dallas, you know, let the guy get up or anything. He just, boom, you know, kicked him right in the chest as he's getting up. And, you know, they call it a disqualification.
Yeah, but see, you should be able to kick the chest, dude.
Yeah, because it's not
head. I mean, how is that any different than when Anderson blasted Chael with a knee to the chest?
Exactly. I mean, exactly.
Yeah, dude, I remember that fight now, because I definitely remember that fight, because I fucking motherfucker, you know? That fight cost me a correct. God damn it. Okay, but that's not as bad as, dude, I was watching a fight earlier in 2012 where some guy thought it would be funny to come out and, like, try to keep his hand on the mat so the dude couldn't kick him.
like as he walked out to start the fight. And so the guy just blasted him in the face with a head kick anyway. It sounded like a fucking shotgun going off. He was like, fuck it. I'm going to just lose this and teach this guy a lesson.
Yeah, I mean, if you're playing that game, then you definitely deserve to get kicked in the face.
That's a rule that needs to be completely overhauled. Like this whole thing about leaning over and touching the mat, and now I can't knee you in the face is bullshit. Okay, why don't you just tap out at that point, you fucking pussy? Just tap out because that's basically all you're doing. When a guy can use a knee attack on you, then now all of a sudden you're like, oh, no, let me put my hand down so that I can have 3 points of contact with the fucking mat, and now you can't use the one weapon that you have on me. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. And a knee that you pick.
It's a bad rule that definitely I think, you know, anyone should look at. And I wish Jeff was on the line with us because then he could talk a little bit about, you know, the refs being distracting and annoying and, you know, stuff like that. I don't think they should be able to speak. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, in the middle of the fight, they're like, good fight, keep going. It's like, dude, what are you even saying stuff for? You're not a fan, shut up. You know what I mean? You're supposed to be in there working. Work the fight. If they're not fighting, you know, if they're away from each other, then you need to tell them to fight. I can understand that. Hey, you need to start going.
Would you be against a policy that had, like, say you had 3 boring fights in a row, and then for your next fight, like, we got to implant, like, a little chip under your skin that, like, wouldn't, you know, anything, but it was like an electroshock. So if your fight got boring this time, like, you could get shocked, and, like, that would help you move on.
Like, meh. I don't know, dude. I'm not into that. I'm not into the 8-up cow prod that you got going on. So, like,
release a tiger into the cage.
Hey, while we're sitting here, guys, talking before we run out of time because we've only got a couple minutes left, you guys know as well as all the fans out there, dude, tomorrow. Go Fight Live has got one of the kick-ass events that you will ever get for free. And they've got PGL2, the middleweight tournament. That's the professional grappling league. This is a pro-paid grappling league, just like, you know, any league out there. And they have got guys from across the country. This is going to be sick. I believe there's 12 or 14 fights in this tournament on this round. So, yeah, you guys definitely want to get out and check that out, dude. PGL2 middleweight tournament. That'll be pretty sick, man.
Dude, does GFL have a Hard Rock 51? Because I wouldn't mind watching Junie Browning get beat up tomorrow by Brian Stevens.
Dude, Hard Rock 51. Let me go back and look. Upcoming events.
And hey, a big shout out to Madhouse fighter Morgan Littlechild. He's going up against Manveer Burke tomorrow night. What I think should be Could steal the fight of the night there at BFL 20.
Yes, and then another big shout out to MMA fighter Daniel Blair, the show fight featherweight champ. He's fighting in the Branson Brawl, December 8th. You know, against 11 other top guys. I can't wait for that. It's going to be on GFL as well. It's only $9.99. That's going to be a sick stacked card. I can't wait for the one.
That's the
tournament,
right?
The
Blue City Brawl? That's the tournament?
The Branson Brawl. He said the Blue City. The Branson Brawl.
Hey, anybody in Quebec, man, there's a Guerriers du Nord is going down tomorrow night in, at the Pavilion Mance. So that should be a good card if you're up there in Quebec to go check out. It's got some pretty good little prospects on it.
Also.
And Pancrase is Sunday night.
Oh, hey, dude, you guys
also
are not going to believe this. Hey, Pocky, when I tell you this, you know the league that Amanda had all the trouble fighting for up in Washington, right? that Cage Warrior combat. They got an event on Go Fight Live coming up, Pummel at the Point.
Yeah, dude, that's the event that Matt Kovacs is fighting on.
Dude, that is sick. We're going to be able to watch it. Dominic Friedrichsen's on it.
But hold on, what was Chris saying about the Blue City Brawl?
The Branson Brawl. I said the Branson. It's called the Branson Brawl.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, Branson Brawl. Branson Brawl, whatever.
That
or no,
Daniel
you're
telling
Blair. Us where Daniel Blair.
Yeah, he's fighting in it. I don't know who he's fighting because you don't know. They actually don't know who they're fighting until the day of weigh-ins.
That's cool.
So
blind draw.
Yeah, dude, it's gonna be sick. Then you got a there's just a lot of champions on that. It's for the best of the best, and you know a lot of the top 145ers in this area don't really want to be on it because they think it's a lot of them are scared to do it, which I don't blame some of them because you're not gonna have any idea who you're fighting, but
90 seconds.
To me, it's a lose-lose.
Do we got overtime?
Win-win.
Yeah,
me,
if you guys want to go into overtime, that's fine.
But to me, fighting in a tournament is a win-win for anyone because, you can either get, one or two, three wins or one loss. You know, who cares? It's one loss. So, I can't wait for that.
Are they one-rounders?
One round. It's 5 minutes. It's 1 5-minute round. For the first round. Then the second round, it's 1 5-minute round. And then
keep
for
talking,
the five, okay, and then for the last, for the final, it's 3 4-minute rounds. So, you got to fight for a while. That's pretty sick because the other tournament was 1 3-minute round, and, that's not that much time. You got a 5-minute round, you need to train your ass off for that. You need to train, and, after your fight, you need to stay warm and stay ready for the next fight, and that's going to be hard for a lot of these guys, and that's why there's also an alternate, alternates, and they also will fight, so no matter who you're fighting, they still have the same amount of fights as you, so it's going to be great, dude, it's going to be sick, I can't wait.
And is it 8 men or 16?
It's 12. There's actually 8 people in it, and then there's 4 alternates. So they'll also be having their own seed, their own bracket.
So do the alternates, does the winner of the alternates get into the next tournament automatically?
Yes. Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, of course, dude. And,
because,
plus,
like, there's a possibility you won't get the fight, but those two fights.
Yeah, but you think about it, really, that there possibly could be it. Somebody that can't continue in the tournament. And that's why the alternates are there, and I think it's going to be freaking great, dude. There's a lot of top talent from this area in it. You got 4 different promotions in this area, and all of those guys, like all of those champions are in it. Then you got guys coming down from Kansas City. I don't know. I love the one-night tournament.
Is it 145?
Yeah, 145. And I believe that you could be, as an amateur here, you could be 7 pounds over. So you could probably weigh
what
in at 152.
What the fuck?
Well, yeah,
are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, it's a 7-pound allowance.
What kind of athletic commission has that kind of bullshit going on?
What do you mean? That's not that much. I mean, really.
7 fucking pounds, bro? That's almost a whole fucking weight class.
Well, 7 pounds.
If you're telling me I can fight at 152 and be considered a made weight featherweight, why would I ever fucking get close to 145?
Well, I'm not exactly sure that's what it is. I'm just saying that when I fought under the same commission or whatever, is that we had to be 7 pounds away from each other, which sucked because my opponent lost. Or he probably wasn't even that big to begin with or whatever. He obviously looked
bigger
than
me. Hold on, the opponents have to be within 7 pounds of each other, or you can be within 7 pounds of making the weight class?
Oh, I just think you have to be 7 pounds, like, you can be 7 pounds away from each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, I came in to fight at, like, 2-something, and he, like, 220, and he came in at 2.
Like, did you make 2, did you have a weight you had to make, or was it just, you fought heavyweight, right? So you decided to be under 265?
No, we had to, we fought at, like, a cruiserweight or something like that, it was. But we had
so
to
like
be within 220? The same, yeah. No, we fought like 240. We fought like 245
or something.
Did
you hit 220? What did you weigh in at?
I was 252 and he was 240 something, but during, like, when the fight came, he was way bigger than I was. He was freaking huge. But yeah, I mean, he was like fatter than I was. I mean, I got a belly, you know what I mean? I got a pure belly. I'm like, I got a belly and it's part of
this weight class thing out in Branson City Brawl, because I want to know now. Do they have a 7-pound allowance or a 1-pound allowance?
I think it's a 7-pound allowance for any amateur fight, dude. It's the way it is here, I believe.
That's fucking ridiculous, bro.
But,
I'm looking that shit up. In Missouri?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing is that a fighter can say, I don't want to fight him unless he's at this weight. You know what I mean? Like, a fighter could ask that. You get what I'm saying? A fighter could say, hey, look, I'm not fighting him unless he makes 145. Because that's how it was. That's how it was at the last featherweight title. Yeah, I mean, Daniel Blair had to make 145 in order to fight.
Hold on, I'm at the Athletic Commission page for the state of Missouri. We're going to figure this shit out.
You're not going to figure it out from looking at that.
Well, I should have access to their statutes and their active rules regarding the proper way to make weight.
Just because we were heavyweights. I don't know, dude. I don't know. But, I mean, I know Daniel Blair had to make 145 in order to fight for the show fight featherweight title, so I don't see why. You know, it'd be any other different or any different for the tournament. That's just my opinion. I don't know.
I just got
see, even on their application, it has something that says the above named contestant hereby agrees to participate at the maximum weight of blank pounds. The office shall not waive the weight category requirement when the contestant's weight span exceeds 10 pounds, excluding the cruiserweight and heavyweight category. And that's just on their application.
Yeah, so it's probably because I was a heavyweight or whatever, we could do, well, like 10-pound difference. That's basically,
yeah.
I think that's just for pros, though, is what you're looking at, though. But, I mean, that makes sense.
Amateur sanctioning body.
Shouldn't be any more than 7 pounds, you know, more than your opponent either, you know. I mean, in all honesty, I guess the heavyweight doesn't really matter, but.
You know, dude, I think if you, you know, but that's the thing that you're going to face, dude, is you go up the ladder of success, man. These guys that are fighting at 145 are walking at like 164 on fight day. And if you're only coming back up to 152, that's on you, bro. You signed on the dotted line. The guy made 145. That's where his obligations to you end. In my opinion.
Right, I totally agree. But if there's, you know, all those guys cutting and they all go to 152, then, I mean, you know what I mean? You see where I'm getting at? They'll all be within the same. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how that works exactly.
Yeah, it's
going to
be interesting, dude. Are you going to have this guy from the Branson City Brawl on your show again before the event?
The Branson Brawl. The Branson Brawl.
Yeah. He's a stupid motherfucker. It's Branson Brawl.
Yeah.
Dude, well, at least I got off Blue City.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I'm sure I'll have
Branson
a lot. Dude,
Missouri.
I mean, yeah, it's in
yeah,
Missouri.
Yeah, Branson's in Missouri.
Is that that place that has the Ozarks?
That
yeah, it
has
Lake
Ozarks,
of the Ozarks, bro.
Like,
yeah. Okay, I'm just making sure we're in the same geographical location.
But if you drive from Springfield to Kansas City, you'd think you were driving through, like, 1940s, bro.
I wouldn't.
I can't think of what fucking highway that is. Is that Highway 45? No.
44.
Yeah, no. Is it 44 the one that runs from Springfield to KC?
It's 44 and then 71.
Yeah, 71. That's
yeah, I mean, you could go
about.
You could go down 13, too. I mean, either way. I mean, you could go back roads the whole way. That's the way I know how to go.
Just don't drive into Kansas on Sundays, people, because you can't buy beer up in that motherfucker.
And if you go to Oklahoma, make sure you get it in Missouri before you go through, because their beer is like 3.2 and ours is 3.5 or something. I don't know. I don't drink beer, but.
Yeah, well, you can't buy cold six-point beer in Oklahoma. I've never heard of some dumbass shit like that when I first moved out there.
No, but
wait, I was like, why is all your beer warm? She's like, we can't sell you cold beer. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Dude,
we don't want you to drink it on the way home.
SoFi 24 is gonna be a great friggin' card, though. I mean, and then you got the girls fighting. You got Brianna Conister fighting, and you got Katie Collins fighting, and... You know, and then all the dudes that are just top-level athletes around this area, you know, and Daniel Blair is a fantastic wrestler. Do what?
Hold on, I thought Daniel Blair was fighting at Branson City Brawl or whatever.
Dude, it's called Show Fight. it's called Show Fight 24, Branson Brawl. Fuck.
On what date, man?
On December 8th, it's on GoFi Live. Go look at it.
Actually, guys, I'm listing for the December 1st right now. Looks like we'll have Caged Fury MMA to cover that night, Cage Wars. This is all December 1st. Rage.
Dude, are they going to have the Soa the Hulk Pelele fight versus Sean McCorkle on that?
Oh, Soa the Hulk? Oh, dude, that dude's something else, man.
On which fight of Cage Wars?
No. That's at Australian Fighting Championship.
Oh, that's it. When is that? What date is that? That's going to be a pretty good little fight.
December 7th.
Oh, yeah. There's also a lot of fights, man. We got another dude that MMA Madhouse sponsors fighting this next weekend at Ultimate Blue Corner Battles in Kansas City. That's going to be sick.
See, that's the one I was thinking of, man. Blue Corner in the city, yeah.
Both the gentlemen, Lepaki, that Chris Gregory's talking about, that Madhouse sponsors, they're both getting free Madhouse boiling bites sent to them any day now.
Yes, sir.
Well, isn't that cute?
From Clinch Custom Mouth Guards!
Oh, then I got to figure out one to get myself. I think I need Madhouse one as well. I need to go get
Clinch. And December 1st and next Saturday, dude. Next Saturday, my boy Anthony Burchek is throwing down with Jason Leyva.
We'll be in the house for that. Madhouse, Christoph Geek will be down there covering for us.
Christoph Geek better get my cell phone number so he can text me the results because I'll be at Cage Sport. 22, bitches.
What day is that?
December 1st.
Oh, yeah.
Next
Saturday. Okay, cool.
There's some badass events.
Dude,
you got a Cage Wars next week.
I'm glad that NGFL has a lot of these fights. Freaking awesome.
It is. Hey, Skippy, is BFL on GFL tomorrow?
Is BFL on GFL?
Did you figure out about Hard Rock?
Hard Rock's not on GFL either.
What about EFC 5?
That might be. Hold on. I was all the way down looking at that Show Fights card and the Ultimate Reno card, but those are at Golden Top. Let's see, we got Show Fights, Ring of Combat, Absolute Action, Valley Fight Series, All or Nothing. Combat
Chris, what do you think is
going to
go down at RFA 5?
Cage Rage.
Oh, you know, honestly, you got James Krause fighting, so I think that's going to be a slick knockout from James. He's fighting a tough dude, though. Joe Jordan, he's like a journeyman. He's had a lot of fights. But James Krause, you know, he just fought November 2nd or something like that. at RFA 4, and he's ready to come back out and just, you know, hey, Cross is nasty, man. He's underrated, and he finishes fights. So that's going to be a sick fight. Rinaldi versus Downing, that's going to be a great 145 battle. And then you got Derek Bowen.
No, they're fighting at 155, bro.
Rinaldi and Downing is a featherweight title.
Dude, everywhere I've read, it's the lightweight title, bro.
It's 145. I'm going to go ahead and say I can guarantee that because that's my area. It's a featherweight strap. Krause just fought at lightweight. He's fighting at welterweight. Then you got Derek Boheis from Kansas City. He's had a great, great amateur career. We'll see how he does. You know, first pro fight. RFA. And then RFA's coming to Kansas City for RFA 6. I haven't been told, you know, who's on that card. I know Mark Dickman is. But, as long as, you know, now that they're coming to Kansas City, that's going to be great. You know, because they'll keep coming for sure. Because the fan base up here is pretty good.
Skippy, what event are you going to be at next?
Shit. I ain't going anywhere for a while, man. I live on this side of the mountain. Fuck the snow.
Could be in such
I'll
a...
I'll be at Budo. Look, I spend most weekends, guys. Don't get me wrong. I've covered a lot of events, and I wish I could cover more. I love getting out there, getting to hang out with all the teams and the fighters and all the other media guys. You know, it sucks. Trey was telling me about kicking back with the guys from Texas MMA and the Houston Chronicle, all of them going out partying after The Last Legacy with McSweeney and them. They all, Bubba, all of them went out and, you know, had a good time. And I miss that, but most weekends I'm here doing results or doing, you know, something for the team, and it's just what it is right now. It sucks sometimes. I want to get out to events, but don't even let it be, you know, thought that I might get to watch live MMA every weekend, though. I'm watching probably more than most people. I average 4 to 5 events a weekend, you know, so.
Ooh. Listen to this guy, Chris Gregory. Listen to this guy.
Well, it's like, yeah, like you don't, Labaki. Come on, Labaki. You going to tell me you don't watch 4 to 5 events a weekend?
Well, let's just say that I watched 3 events tonight. I watched an event yesterday. I watched 2 events
Thank
on
you.
Wednesday.
Thank you.
What's tomorrow? Tomorrow, there's a good possibility I may not watch a lot of MMA tomorrow, depending on if Oregon State beats Oregon. And if that happens, if you call me and I don't remember, please don't be offended. I'll just be hammered. Just going to tell you. If you text me and I don't get back to you, I'm probably wasted and focused on something else.
Now, can I ask you a question? If you guys knock off seriously. If you guys knock off this gut machine that Phil Knight has spent so much money, which for fans out there who don't know, the Oregon University of Oregon Ducks have 120 game day uniforms but no national championships. So what's more important to them, winning or dressing cool? Okay, let's get that out of the fucking way. Second of all, if you guys beat
Prima
them, are you guys fighting for the Rose Bowl at that point?
No, we can't make the Rose Bowl at all.
Oh, okay.
If we would have beat Stanford, we could have been in for Rose Bowl. If we would have beat Washington, we'd be in consideration for the Rose Bowl. But we didn't do it. We're having a great season anyway. And when we beat the Ducks, there's a crazy outside chance that maybe we get a BCS Bowl as an at-large, but I fully expect to see us either in San Antonio at the Alamo Bowl or San Diego at the Holiday Bowl. And for all of you people out there listening to football, I just want you guys to know, man, if Oregon State pulls off this upset, it's going to be a great day to follow me because I will be talking a lot of shit and hammered shit. I'll even be touting talking shit.
I think the chances of that happening are about like the chances of the Chiefs winning a game.
No, Chris. The sad reality and this is the shitty thing about this game, and Lepaki can attest to this, it is like an OU-Texas game or a Florida-Florida State game. Just because you're number 1 and 10 and 0 and you're facing an 0-10 team last in the division, they knock each other off all the time and upset each other. This is a home turf game. Records don't mean shit. It's about getting in there and beating the shit out of each other.
Dude, we are ranked number 15 in the country. Fuck.
But you gotta agree. You gotta agree, Lepaki. Records don't mean shit when it comes to this Civil War game. Every year, it doesn't matter who's got what record. You never know who's gonna win this game.
Well,
that's what it's called, a Civil War game.
I would have said that might be true 4 years ago, but now that they've got this new offense, I think this is the first year we've had the defensive front seven that can, like, keep up with what they need to do. And Mike Riley needs to, you know, power run game. He needs to go between the tackles because that's where Oregon's susceptible at. They don't have those big hog mollies down there, and if you can beat them up, you know, and rough them up, that'll open up the pass game to Marcus Wheaton and Brandon Cooks. And if they're smart, you know, they would even consider putting Cooks or Wheaton in the backfield on plays and trying to run that spread option zone, you know, zone option. I just really want the Beavers to win. And then Caitlin, you know, she'll be okay. I mean, you know, maybe she shouldn't
she
be going to the University of Oregon anyway.
Well,
yeah, and, you know, she knows that she shouldn't be going to the University of Oregon.
Look, I hear this. I live in duck country. One of the bars I work for, both bars I work for, are like duck havens. And everybody always gives me shit. They're like, ah, you stupid Longhorn hats. Ah, you Longhorns lost. But what I like to tell them is we have 5 national championships, and the only university in the whole country that was paid $600 million by ESPN to have a channel named after us. Okay, so you can take all that Nike money you want. Ain't bought you shit. Hard work gets you to the title.
Go Vince Young.
Damn straight, baby. Daryl Royal, dude.
Come on, so who's more popular in Texas, dude? Major Applewhite, Colt McCoy, or Vince Young?
My opinion, straight up, Major Applewhite, hands down, period. No ifs, ands,
and buts. I think it's probably Colt McCoy.
I would have to say Colt McCoy is probably the more popular because he was the All-American boy who grew up there, who went to junior high with Jordan Shipley, fished every weekend through high school with Jordan Shipley, went to the college level with Jordan Shipley, you know, went to the pros, you know. So he's an All-American pretty boy, loved, and, you know, it sucks that he's hurt, but Shipley's having a great career as a pro.
I don't know, dude. I think that Major Applewhite is more loved because he was able to beat OU.
Dude, Major Applewhite, for those who out there don't know, he was the quarterback coach down there in Alabama when they won their national championship. What was it, 3 years ago?
2 years ago, yeah. And then now I think he's at LSU or Florida State.
Yeah, he's somewhere else. I love Major Applewhite. When I thought he was the shit, man. I loved him. He was so phenomenal to watch.
How much did you hate Chris Sims, though?
Dude, I loved Chris Sims, man. Chris Sims was a beast, dude. It's just he was never that great.
I still remember seeing that picture on the front of the Tulsa World when Roy Williams blew Chris Sims up in the Red River rivalry.
Yeah.
Just blew him up. Like, I think it was probably like the 0-2 game, maybe the 0-3 game. Just blew that fool up, man. Like, literally. I thought Chris Sims was dead after that play.
You know, and it's funny because if you look at the NFL today, I believe 4 teams or 5 teams right now have starting running backs from the University of Texas. You know, I mean,
the University of Texas put the greatest player in the NFL ever, bro. Ricky motherfucking Williams, son.
Damn straight, buddy. Damn straight. Oh, and one other. Don't forget, with Earl Campbell.
Dude, he's no Ricky Williams, bro. Earl Campbell is straight edge, man.
Dude.
Ricky Williams quit playing football because he wanted to go smoke pot in India.
That's cool and all, and he came back and he still had a good career, and I love him. But I mean, dude, not just him, Cedric Benson. You've got what's his name up there for the Bears right now? Is the Bears
for the Bears?
No, I think it's Cincinnati. He's the running back. Is also from
that was Cedric Benson, dude. Now he's with Green Bay.
Green Bay. Gee, goddamn, dude, these pills got me whacked out.
I don't think it's the pills, bro.
Oh, no,
what about it's the NyQuil?
No, I've been taking a bunch of phenobarbitals trying to get all this shit.
Why, man? I thought you didn't take those, man.
Yeah, all natural.
I try not to, but when I get to a certain point, it's either take them or go to the hospital. I don't like doing that shit. So every once in a while, I got to take them. I try not to. Hey, does anybody know if the snowman won last night?
Who did he fight?
I haven't heard. Is that the one he fought? Geek Kong? Geek Kong?
Yeah.
Geek Kong? Hold on. I think I can get the results of that real quick.
I'm pulling it up right now, too.
Talking about the snowman Jeff Monson?
Yeah, bro. We always talk about the snowman Jeff Monson. We do that because of our good buddy, One Speed Eddie Blackburn. Yankees fan extraordinaire.
Okay.
Dude, where's Gil Kanzaki fighting again?
Man, I've seen Jeff Monson fight live one time, and it was, I think he fought a dude named John Doodoo Brown, and the fight was Doodoo.
Dude, they're not there yet. They're only on fight 7.
I don't have a result. I just have that the fight went down.
Oh, you haven't already went down?
No.
Okay.
No, I just have it as, like, being marked down.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Asia MMA, they're on fight number 7 right now. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fights.
Where's the stream at? Where's the stream?
Oh, wait, this is it. Road FC. Oh, mother fuck.
Yeah.
I forgot to do something last night. Son of a cunt. Fuck.
Now, for anybody out there who don't know, Road FC 10, man, not only did they threw together a sick card. You have what they call the FC Young Guns card, which is like their up-and-coming amateur, you know, division, and they have 8 fights on that. And then you have the Road FC 10 card, which is the main card, which is the big pros, all the big man guys, and it's actually the semifinals of the lightweight tournament. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, dude, but it also had Shungo Oyama on that card, dude.
He is headlining it against Lee In Soo. Yeah, that's going to be a good fight, bro. I haven't been able to find any link.
It was a good fight, bro. We just don't know who won.
Off the grid. If you can't find the link to it, then it's off the grid.
The event will broadcast on SureDog 10 hours later, 5 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow.
Yeah. See, that's why nobody's releasing results. Fucking cocksuckers.
That's why they only release the undercard, because it's all the amateurs.
Yeah. These fucking cunts.
Somebody has got to have gone to that event. Hold on, let's go look up Jeff Munson's Twitter.
Dude, he probably signed a deal, did he? No talkie-talkie.
No saying nothing to have to fight.
Dude, Road FC 10 is underway right now, posting cage side updates throughout the event. At this link, starting, let's see, okay, I can't.
He's on like a 3 or 4 fight winning streak too, isn't he?
Who, Munson?
Yeah.
Yeah, did he just beat Alexander Emelianenko 2 weeks ago, or last week?
Yeah, and then before Tapped that,
his ass
he beat
out with the North South
that Tomkin, that dude, that Dennis Compkin dude. Yeah, I remember
dude,
that
he's
one.
Putting up live, dude, no, no, dude, the Moncton fight hasn't happened yet, dude. They're putting up live results right now. It just
yeah, how do they miss this fight card?
Look, the Moon Jae-hoon versus Kim Sang-lee. It says this two-round stand-up war is in the first. Moon almost beats the teeth out of Kim. My Mac has blood splattered all over it. Proof to come later. Moon went by decision after very dominating two-round striking and brutalizing of Kim. This is all translated, so it's not super easy. And where does... What? And where he does one of the flying flat-footed Korean kicks. Okay, I don't understand that part. So, yeah, dude, we've got like five fights to go till Jeff Munson's up and six to go till Sangu's up.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, I guess I should just hit translate. There we go.
You can't watch it until tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, because they're broadcasting it on local Korean TV first. So that means...
don't we have a server coming out of South Korea that's, like, hijacking the shit for us?
We need to.
Yeah, no shit.
Dude, Road FC...
No, why isn't Rear Naked Smoke on this? What the heck is going on?
Well, did he probably... Dude, who wants to fuck with the Koreans, bro?
I do. I like their kimchi, motherfuckers.
Yeah,
okay,
but
here we go.
Look like their kimchi?
No, it kills me. Yeah, see, they have Road FC listed on Rear Naked Smoke, but no links available. Nobody stepped up. I wonder if that Russian Sports Box channel has it.
Yeah, they might. They're friends with the Koreans.
Sports
box. So, hey, do you think who thinks that Diaz is going to win? Who thinks Ben Henderson is going to win?
I think Diaz is going to win for sure.
Diaz. I think
you little fanboys.
I think within a year's time, both the brothers will be holding the titles together.
I think Nate is definitely going to win that fight and be the champ and be probably one of the best marketable champs that there is. You know, he's going to be one of those guys that just, like he is, he's just going to talk shit and it's going to be great. And I love the way they go into fights. You know, they're there to fight.
Yeah, but he's better than his brother about all that because he's smarter.
Yeah, yeah. He's way much more calm. Much more calm.
Yeah, but calm don't sell. Calm don't sell.
No,
sells.
Dude, he's not that he's much calmer, but he's not as over the edge maybe as his brother. He's very exciting. He's very salesman and showmanship, but he doesn't push that envelope like his brother does. Like saying, you know, going on video and saying, Dana White. Yeah, he doesn't go on and make a video saying Dana White's a bitch and fuck this guy and fuck all these guys. I'm going to fuck them all and fuck this and money and, you know. And he just does that because he's trying to build hype, but the younger brother doesn't do it to the extreme. The other brother will talk shit.
I don't think he does it to hype up a fight. I think he does it because he doesn't know how to express himself in any other way other than to fight. And that's really what I think is that he doesn't express himself well with words, so he just fights.
Chris, how many times has your therapist told you that?
I don't know. I've never been to therapy. It's probably my problem.
I swear to God, dude, that's from last week's session. You just snagged that off your fucking therapist. She's like, Chris, and you're like, I'm going to use that on the show. Well, fuck, Chris. I know it's late there, Lepaki. I'm going to go sit down and watch some ESPN, get my head
checked.
Why
would you watch ESPN, dude?
I haven't seen it all day.
I'm going to go watch the movie Hop with my kid because he's awake right now at 2 something in the morning. So we're going to go watch some kids' cartoons and pass out.
I'm going to go fire up a doobie and pick some fights.
What do you mean fire up? I've been smoking the whole fucking time.
Well, yeah, I have too, but now I'm going to go do it again.
Well, I'll
why do you
probably
think
be
you,
back
why do you
on
think
here.
You're out there listening, why do you think you were listening to the traffic drive by my house earlier?
Are you so you're gonna be up for? Hey, so you're gonna be up for a while, dude. Let me go get some things taken care of. I'll probably Skype you here in a little bit.
All right, Skype
oh,
me, you little slutty, you little slutty cunt.
Hey, everybody, thanks to Madhouse for giving us this time, us employees to run Rocket all over our own shit. Everybody,
Chris Gregory,
follow
I'll debate
MMA.
You again next week on the Rogue MMA show.
That's
come prepared,
right.
Son.
Everybody
come
follow
prepared,
Chris
son.
Gregory at Chris Gregory MMA, Lopaki at Lopaki, that's L-O-P-A-T-I. Follow MMA Madhouse, follow STP Tattoo. Everybody, you guys know how we
what's
end the
Chris
show.
What's Chris Gregory laughing about? What's he doing there, hitting the bong already?
Did you say dong or bong?
He's probably doing both. He's probably got a dong-shaped bong.
Everybody, Eagle!
Eagle!
I ain't saying that shit.
Fucking pussy. Later, guys.
Later.